Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Patricia Ram, who's eating a pine tar.
Who? Yes, it is Patricia Ram. And we are doing another Monday Night Raw recap.
Yeah,
I don't know why I went there.
But anyway. We're doing another Monday Night Raw recap!
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But anyway, so yes, emphasis, re-emphasis. To Tish, who are going to hell.
I hate that so much, Matt. And
honestly, she's starting to sound like what was it? This is as still as I can stand.
Yeah, no, it just and for what I'm referring to here with Matt, if you hadn't picked on, is that Brie Bella for some reason in her promos has this like I don't know why she's doing it, but she's putting extra emphasis on like the end of her sentences at times, and it almost felt like she was overusing it. And I think she caught herself where she's just like, "You're a bitch. You're going to go to hell. I hate you." Like, that kind of stuff. And it was really annoying.
No, the first two were really just out there. The third one was like, "And I hate you. Like, I really do." Like,
yeah,
after a while, it was
confusing.
Yeah. What's funny is, you know, we've had these discussions. We haven't had a discussion yet on the show, but there's some rumors backstage about their bringing an acting coach into NXT.
Correct.
And I think the best thing is the internet reaction was, could we get that one for, like, the main roster or something? I think that's what's great, where it's just, you know what? Yeah, we do need some for the main roster. Let's kind of bring some. I mean, we don't need everyone to come out, you know, as The Rock now. We don't need everyone to become The Rock, but, yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, and there are some people who, and it's not like she doesn't have the potential. That's what I'm saying, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's not like a lot of these people don't have the potential. There's a reason they made it up in the first place. And mic skills is a big thing where, you know, it's if you want to split it down to something as simple as in-ring skills and mic skills, right? There's more than that.
Right.
There's charisma. There's a lot of things going on. But in terms of those two being very major things, you know, a lot of people these days seem to have the in-ring skill part down, but not so much the mic skill part down, which is interesting to me. You know, you look at guys like Cesaro, for one, who is excellent in ring. And the Bellas even have improved in ring, but they still don't have the legitimate, like a genuine feel to their promos.
Yeah,
you know,
and I would argue that it's a disconnect, not between, usually we say there's a disconnect between NXT and WWE. In this case, it's just an indie thing, I think, because from what I hear is, you know, and you'll see this, like I've gone to a few indie events myself, I don't see a lot of promos.
That's right.
You hear about Ring of Honor, where Ring of Honor is such an amazing thing, and it's your way of basically, it's like, a, in a sense, a golden ticket. Not completely, but it's a really nice stepping stone to get into the WWE. But who cuts promos there? You know, when you think of, you literally just think of CM Punk, really.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean
other people
have. Go back and watch the CM Punk stuff. There's quotes that basically are saying, yeah, we didn't cut much promos there, and then there was CM Punk. And,
exactly.
Yeah. CM Punk may have been a god amongst men in terms of promo talent, but that doesn't mean that the rest of them shouldn't be cutting promos.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that being, like, Ring of Honor will, you know, probably touch on a little bit later when we talk about the show that will be here in New York. But, you know, with Ring of Honor, they had a lot of stuff going on with in-ring talent, and you're right, where they had, like, 60-minute Iron Man matches going on consistently, you know, and not, like, every week,
yeah.
But these were things that you wouldn't bat an eye at in terms of, like, in WWE, it's like a 60-minute match. Are you crazy? We don't have those anymore. You
right.
know, I mean,
yeah.
we accept 15-minute matches are, like, the bombs these days. 20-minute matches are, like, wow, 20-minute matches?
Which is
and
sad, because, you know.
It is sad.
But it's also
what the condition of WWE is these days in terms of limiting
right,
moves and limited matches. So, yeah, I agree with you. That could definitely be a thing. With some of these guys coming over from the indies, a lot of them, like Cesaro, who are excellent in ring because they can put on a match for 40 minutes, but they barely have to cut promos.
Of course, yeah, and we'll talk about Cesaro in a second, but before we do, before we get into the actual content, I would like to mention a few things kind of just leading us into this. First off, last week we were talking a lot about Sheamus. Where are you, Sheamus San Diego? We found out that Sheamus was actually in Florida. He was recovering from the flu, and
right.
Also, strangely enough, they decided to go with the Rusev Swagger angle again. So I think a mixture of those two kind of just decided, you know what, let's just kind of take Sheamus out of this setting, which was just
so
very
Sheamus
strange.
Is not hurt. We should definitely clarify that.
No, he's not.
That.
You know, that's the thing.
Hurt.
That's why he's, which is, and it's funny because it's in a way I understand. Oh, you know, sadly, right, the flu, even though it's real, you know, it isn't like a thing that you want to say you're superhuman, you know, superstars and divas have, right? Where it's just, why is this person not in? Because they are sick. You know, I can kind of see that. It's upsetting because I just want them to make something up. Like, how scary is it when it's just, what happened to them? Shrugs. They just dropped off.
Yeah,
the
like,
face
I agree
of the earth.
With you. And I'm not even on the boat of making things up. I mean, look, I deal with sports on a daily basis. I was an ex-sports writer.
Right.
And sometimes I get, like, I get strained muscles. I hear, like, you know, broken arm and stuff like that. That's serious. But every now and then, we'll also hear, oh, ex-player has the flu. Because, you know, they do get the flu. They are
no, they do.
At the pinnacle of physical condition. And I think it's okay to say, like, you know, they have the flu.
It is? No, I believe it is. But I can understand why WWE, you know how Vince McMahon is.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to tie it into an angle at least, I'd be a bit happier than just, as you're saying, what happened to this guy?
Which
that's
is
terrible.
Which, hey.
That is scary.
I mean, yeah.
I agree with you.
Chris, I mean, Chris Jericho mentioned it today. You know, he didn't mean to, but he kind of made a perfect, you know, reference to it today. We have the network now. And sadly, WWE doesn't care enough, I feel, to, like, make a note and go, so we're taking that off of our upload.
Right, because,
you know?
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to sit there with such precision that they're going to, you know, watch back and think, in 2014,
we were promised
Sheamus versus Rusev, and the next main event episode that I had to watch right after did not have that. If someone did that,
no.
By the way, I'd be scared, wouldn't you?
I don't think someone would do that specifically, but I think it would just be a confusing thing because, you know, it's just a confusing thing to do. Imagine years down the line, imagine the network, everything stands, we're still alive, everything's, nothing has destroyed civilization, we're all good, right? And people are going back, maybe even we're going back because it's been a while, just to watch some stuff. And it's like, and the next night we're going to have this. And it's like, all right, cool, yeah, let me watch it the next night. Or let me watch it tonight, you know, whatever. We watch it and all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, what? Like, what? Like,
I guess it's not a big deal as you or I are making it out to be, right? But it's still kind of like, it did worry us for a bit. We were like, is Sheamus okay?
That's
you know, and, you know, so I know it doesn't behoove, like, WWE doesn't need to do that. But I think it'd be cool if there was at least, like, a mention of, like, you know, on your Twitter, since you love Twitter so much, WWE, Sheamus has the flu. Or Sheamus will be unable to perform tonight because Rusev attacked him backstage. Or something.
Yeah, no, it's
I
just,
don't know.
You know, it's just a weird thing when you have, you know, we mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again before we move on. You know, we have RVD just barely being mentioned via WWE.com.
He wasn't
which
on
everyone
tonight,
reads,
right, by the way?
No, he was not. So we have that. And then we have the Sheamus thing. It's just, like, I'm wondering if there's, like, a thing of the flu going around and they just don't want anyone referencing it or something. But it's just very strange as to how it's just, yeah, you know, they're out, whatever. Not whatever. You know, these are – RVD is a guy that you basically said, yeah, he's going to be in this, and then he wasn't. And then Sheamus, well, of course he's going to be there, and then he's not. That's
right.
You know, if this were back in the days where we had territories, I mean, people would be wanting their money back. They'd be throwing popcorn. You know, it doesn't matter now so much. With
throwing
the,
chairs
you know, with
into the ring, screaming ECW.
I mean, just, you know, lighting tables on fire. I mean, yeah, but, you know. Everything.
Speaking of ECW.
It happens.
Paul Heyman.
Speaking of ECW. Yeah, Paul
and
Heyman's here tonight.
John Cena.
But we're not at John Cena yet. We have to talk about San Diego Comic-Con.
You know what? Go for it. Humor me.
Yeah.
Let's do San Diego. Let's do San Diego.
San Diego. Mattel did an amazing thing. They took nine superstars, right? And you know, and they just...
and locked them in a house and made a reality. Yeah. Wait, wrong synopsis. Go on.
Wait a minute. Actually, that's for the WWE Network. No, what they did was they took 9 superstars and they said, hey, let's redo their outfits. And that was WWE, what was it, WWE transformation hashtag. That's what that was. So if anyone forgot about that for some reason, they were like, oh, yeah, what's the big transformation? Mattel did stuff at Comic-Con where they drew things. That's what we were waiting for. Bray Wyatt was like a mix between Ministry Taker and Bray. It was great. Oh, it was wonderful. If you're feeling as excited as I am, then yeah. I understand. So, but we did have Daniel Bryan appear, and I literally mean appear. Like, he just kind of poofed right there. So he appeared.
Because he had good news, right? No, he didn't.
He did. He has a new autobiography called
Yes, that is good news. Actually, I'm not even going to make a joke about that. That was the good news.
No. Remember, he didn't make any bad news there. He just didn't have any other good news.
Right.
It was the press conference.
It was the press conference after about the robbery.
Right, about the robbery that he single-handedly stopped, by the way. It's not even a joke. I'm actually, in a robbery situation, I'm more worried about the robber when it comes to men like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Right, because in my head, it's like, you're robbing my house. Daniel Bryan could really, really hurt you. I mean, the only person, in terms of the guys that we mentioned, who I would think of like you really wouldn't want to cross like that is Brock Lesnar. Because,
right.
Lesnar could literally kill a man trying to rob his house.
No, it would be very honest. No, Lesnar would be in a situation where he would kill the man, and then they wouldn't know what to do because they'd have to pull him from the match with Cena. Whereas either Vince would think, all right, we have to pull him, or his tasteless kind of style would say, nope, just promote that he actually killed the man.
That would be so bad. And at the same time, I don't disagree with what you just said. I feel like it would happen.
I could see that happening completely.
But yeah,
but anyway,
so let's talk about Daniel Bryan, because that was actually some interesting news.
Right. Well, I mean, we're not talking too much about the – yes, he's getting out of surgery, right? That didn't happen at Comic-Con. Happened at the robbery press conference right after.
Right.
Not the robbery itself. That would have been awkward. Just, I need surgery, man. I'm trying to rob your house.
The two connected events. I mean, he single-handedly chased down a guy and apprehended one of the robbers out of the two.
Right.
And then he admits in the press conference the next day is that he needs another surgery. And in my head, it's like, please don't be further hurt from this. No jokes or anything like that. Like, he has to run down. Like, I really hope not. I'm very worried.
I am optimistic from that, if only because it shows how in shape he still is, because a lot of people were worried about his arms, because when they saw him at Comic-Con, they thought that his arms looked a little bit smaller than they usually were. But honestly, it's just, well, either way, he can still go. And I think that's what, because, I don't know, when I think of someone who needs surgery, I think of someone who would not be able to do something along those lines. Chase down, and it's only, in a way, comical if he didn't need the surgery, he would have taken down both.
It's a little bit of both, because, like, I needed surgery for a few months, and I was still able to perform most of my daily physical activities, and in a pinch, I could run. But after, and this is me being, like, not crazy in shape, of course, after I would be feeling it.
Okay.
And this is in my knees. So, like, it's just a matter of, with Daniel, I mean, I'm sure that because he keeps himself in the pinnacle of physical condition, that it wasn't anything crazy for him, but I just worry that, like, he's probably in a lot more pain than he'd ever admit to anybody. And
No, I understand.
It's
going to
be his second surgery. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's not out of the – I know it's kind of selfish to be talking about his return. But if he's still in shape, it's not out of line to think he'd be back around the Royal Rumble.
I don't think so. I think so, too. I don't think
that's giving him, I think, ample time to recover.
Oh, yeah, no. Honestly, if he – I hate to – sound somber, but if he does come back, right, I assume he will, but if he does come back, yeah, it would be Royal Rumble time. If not, it could be easily a surprise return at WrestleMania to do something amazing, but I would assume it would be Royal Rumble time, and he'll be back, and he'll be number 30, right, and they'll do that right, and he will win the Royal Rumble, and he may win at WrestleMania again, he may not, but the point is that he got the shot, we got invested in him. And because it all depends on who he's fighting at the time, which is obviously so long away. We don't know if it'll be Lesnar, Cena, Reigns, The Rock. We don't know.
For me, what it is now, let's just say it's August, because it's about to be August, right? August, September, October, November, December. That's 5 months to not even, like, and full of January, because Royal Rumble's at the end of January.
Right.
It's basically 6 months for him to not really only recover, but determine a career path. Because if he finds out, you know, after 5 months, he looks at himself in the mirror and realizes he can't compete anymore for his own health reasons, there was ample time of recovery there that we would know and that he would know. You know, so
yeah.
I think it would be smart for them to push it back to the Rumble, not only because, A, if he can come, that would be best for business, and if he can't, well, that means you gave him enough time to helpfully rehab, do this at his own pace, just in case any complications, because I don't want him to John Cena this. I don't want him to try and rush back, because things can work without him right now, and I want him back. I love him. I think he's extremely entertaining and talented.
Yeah,
but
no,
I think that ample time is important.
Oh, yeah, and things can work without him, because here's the thing. You know, we have such a depth in the roster that things can work without him. And like you said, coming back in the Rumble is best for business. If you're worried about him performing, right, making him number 30 and throwing some people out or throwing the last person, you know, that would be great, I think, you know, because he's fresh. And people would root, you know, would root for Bryan compared to, let's say, a Batista thing where he comes back, he can't even run to the ring. You know, and then he's throwing out, especially a guy like Roman Reigns being thrown up by a Batista, who Reigns for the Rumble got, you know, beat Kane's record for eliminations. So that became a huge thing. But for, you know, Daniel Bryan at number 30, you know, coming in fresh, if they're worried about him looking bad, you know, he's number 30 in the Rumble. It doesn't, you know, it's not like CM Punk being number one, which was a huge, you know, which was a, probably a huge toll on his body for that match.
Mm-hmm. And so, I know that the internet kills surprise returns, but a lot of us are going to be looking at the Rumble and thinking, this is a good return date for Daniel if he's not back. And
right,
we're still going to be equally excited.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the only way they could really change it up on us and not piss us off is to have Daniel, like, you know, or have someone say, oh, Daniel's not ready, Daniel's not ready, Daniel's not ready. And in a way, make us think, oh, yeah, Daniel's coming. And then, of course, we wait till number 30, and then Daniel appears. You know, something where, because if there's complete silence, I think that'll be even more awkward, I feel. You know, complete silence everywhere other than dirt sheets with Daniel coming
mm-hmm.
back. So I feel like they should promote it somewhere, not even on television, actually. Like the WWE.com or even through the dirt sheets, as they've done in the past, saying Daniel Bryan is not fit to compete. And then we'd go, damn, he's not fit. And then he just happens to be number 30. You know, nothing major. Just, you know, Daniel Bryan.
I like it when it's
winning.
Quiet with certain people. And, like, that's with, like, Jericho, because it's surprise returns, that's different. I see what you're
cool.
saying with Bryan, because if he's coming back at Royal Rumble, that means he's coming back to actually wrestle for at least a few years. And that
right.
means, yeah, promote it, because this is Daniel Bryan. This is your guy who completely made you change the direction of your booking solely because of fan reaction to him.
Exactly.
Which is pretty impressive, you know. But
oh, yeah, most definitely. And also something impressive, Sting was there.
Right, so Sting, one of the new additions, along with, I don't know if this was announced in San Diego, but Matt and I talked about this earlier, Prince DeWitt, who should be an interesting
No, he was announced the, I believe it was 2 days, he's actually announced this morning, but he is a new addition as well. I bring up Sting only because when I say Sting was there, I mean Sting was literally at San Diego
there.
Comic-Con I've with Hogan, Heyman,
doing
and Daniel Bryan, which is good because it's just, I mean, hey, it's Sting. You know, and what's great is that it was a surprise, so it stinks that it didn't draw in people who may have wanted to see Sting, but it's still nice to know that, yeah, if you were a fan of, Daniel Bryan and whoever else was going to be there, it's really cool to just see Sting pop up out of nowhere, basically, like literally pop up out of nowhere. Really
like from
nice
underneath the ring?
Yeah.
Like from the rafters?
Table. Yeah, from the rafters of the room that they were in, the tiny room that they were in. Yeah, sure.
That's really funny. He's just hanging from strings from the ceiling. I am Sting. You're pathetic. Stop. I am Sting.
One of the all of the ropes. There's only like one little string, and he's kind of turning around slowly. I am Sting.
I like that. A rotating Sting in the room. I would pay to see that. And every time he turns the face one side of the room, I am Sting.
Every time he turns the face one side of the room, he's now a face, and then he turns away and he's a heel. It's like Big Show. Anyway, so Sting was there and he talked about how he's like, hey, I want to wrestle one more match. And hey, that's a big thing because here's why it's a big thing. It's a big thing because the fact that he was there, you know, promoting himself with the WWE means something. Because, yes, he's been considered with the WWE because of the new video game. But for all we knew up to this point, that could literally have been it. Just, oh, he's in a video game, and then you go on with your day. No, he actually, you know, was there, and he said, hey, you know what? Yeah, I want to, like, fight someone. Be it The Undertaker, be it whoever. I want to fight someone. I want to have one more match.
Yeah,
and
I'll give you that, actually,
cool.
Because it did confirm something for us that we thought was confirmed, but it's always good to actually have the confirmation. And
yeah, of course. It's been on and off, on the fence and off the fence for a couple months now. Ever since, like, around WrestleMania, honestly, it's been, oh, will they, won't they? So after this video game thing, it's really nice to have a lot more of a confirmation.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's also an interesting thing because, as you mentioned, he did say he wanted it to be against The Undertaker. He hinted against that directly. But he also said, you know, he left the door open, which was something that we hadn't heard before, you know, in terms of, like, he would face someone else.
And I think that the best person he could face, really, is Bray Wyatt, honestly. There's no contest.
That would be interesting to me. Because, you know, in wrestling, there's always talk about you going out on your back, you know? And Sting, being a long time and practically a legend, knows that. You know, he knows you have to go out on your back. So even if he was working with The Undertaker, I assumed he would have been projected to lose. So
yeah, I assume.
I figure that he knows that if he's put into a program with, like, Bray Wyatt, it would make sense for him to lose. He's going to lose. And I just hope he'd be in the condition to put on a good match.
Yes. Yeah, I hope so as well. And but we move forward. We move on to something rather interesting, something that may have not caught certain people's eyes, but I want to bring attention to it because of the fact that WWE is bleeding money right now. So, Stish, do you remember the promo that they did where they said on the network, which, by the way, if you don't have it yet, you should get to WWE Network. But they said, Satish, oh, we're going to be airing old SummerSlam matches on the WWE Network.
Here's what's funny about that, by the way, before you go on.
Okay.
I stepped away for a second during that promo to get a cup of water.
Right.
And I thought it was hilarious because as I was coming back to my screen, all I saw was SummerSlam this Sunday. And I was like, that can't be right. That can't be right. And it wasn't until you texted me that I put two and two together and realized what the promo was for. But I was really confused. Like, I was about to sit down and text you and be like, Matt, did we completely screw up our schedule? Because I don't think I can do Sunday.
That's nice. No, but yeah, that's how it looked, too, for some, I guess, if they went up to go pee or get some water. Yeah, and they come back and it's just, oh.
SummerSlam is Sunday. But, you know, you can go on here.
All right, so here's the thing, everyone. If you don't have the network, here's what's going on. If you do have the network and you just haven't really been paying attention to stuff like this, here's why this is a huge problem. And, okay, so they're not saying to you, because if you don't have the network, they have live streams, so it's basically like having television. They put their old archive stuff on, you know, basically like a television kind of streaming, you know, system where you can just sit there and watch whatever they put on for you all day if you're not a person who wants to look into the archives, which is cool, right? So what they have, what they're telling you is, not that they're going to replay something from the archives, you know, because they do sometimes. Like 4th of July weekend, they had Great American Bashes playing. They're not saying they're going to do that. They're not saying that the matches that they've advertised are going to be played in the exact section of the archive stream. No, no, no. What they're doing is they're doing the same thing they did with WrestleMania 13 with Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. They are cutting off that part of the match, literally like chopping it off, removing it, putting it onto the network for that live stream, not even adding any kind of commentary or anything to it, just saying, hey, watch this match. And then they're adding it into the archives as a different match. What does that mean? That means that, okay, so Sadish, servers cost money, don't they?
Yeah.
So what we're doing here is we're having the same match twice, once in the large pay-per-view that was originally meant to be in, and then another section in the originals, by the way, in the originals as, like, special, saying, hey, you know, here's this match. And it's not even like a WrestleMania Rewind, which those are actually interesting because they had the people involved in the matches commentating on it, like Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, talking about why, let's say, this specific match was cool that they were in. This is not that at all. This is not, you know, Bret Hart and Stone Cold talking about it together or even maybe doing some extra commentary over it, maybe like deleting the original commentary. No. It's just, here's the match again. Take it again. We're putting more stress on our servers. And by the way, we really need more subscribers. This is just money being wasted. I find it laughable and sad. How do you?
In my opinion, and this is one of the things I'm going to disagree with you on tonight. Okay. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think what it is for them is that, you know how people have so much accessible to them? Like, let's say you have, like, 500 TV channels. You know a lot of things are there, but at the same time, you don't really know everything's there. Do you get what I mean? Like, so you're alerted to the fact that you pretty much have, like, every SummerSlam, but you don't really look through this stuff. So I think what they're trying to do with this is not only is it cross-promotion with the fact that SummerSlam is coming up, but they're trying to alert people like, hey, you really do have all this crap on the network. Here's your proof. Do you get
Here's the thing. I'm not saying you can't air them. I'm saying why have them saved as backups again? Because now...
Yeah, I understand. If you're trying to say that's stupid, like, on its own, it is pretty, like, weird.
No. Oh, believe
just...
me. No. Please, you know, don't misunderstand. I love the fact that they want to say, yeah, here's this match again. If you like this match or maybe you can get into this match, watch this match. Awesome. But then they keep it there.
I think they're cocky about how much space they have, though.
They have to be, but it's just... They have so much content eventually that it's just, you know, I mean, you have all of WCW, which is coming up soon because if they're going to line it up with, you know, the Raw, you know, the Raws that they're uploading, they're getting closer and closer to 1996.
Right.
So they have all of WCW. You know, they even have more pay-per-views from, I believe, from WWE and WCW. Just, you know, they have pretty much everything storyline-wise. They just have a few things here and there they haven't released that they could possibly look through and release if they still have the tape store in the digital library. They also have ECW, you know, tapings. They have WCCW. They have, I mean, Saturday Night's Main Event from, I mean, they have, what is it, the MSG events. They have a lot that they can still upload, so it just kind of baffles me that they're actually willing to take archive space, not live space, but archive space, to do a, you know, to have another, you know, copy of a match that is already in a pay-per-view, where it's just, hey, did you like that pay-per-view? Don't watch that. Why do we even upload that? Just watch this match that you liked. The matches when you get into the pay-per-view. You know, it's, I don't know. I find it to be a bit too... It's silly, in my opinion, to do it twice.
I don't think it's that big a deal. Because I think in their eyes, they're doing a good thing. They're promoting what they have in their system. So
yeah, no,
like, I agree with you in terms of like re-uploading it to the server is a pretty dumb move because it's wasted space. It is wasted
space.
But at first,
I agree with you. No, at first, I agree with you. They should definitely keep on doing this to make people think. Oh, but it's funny because it's not like this is going to make people go, wait a minute, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold, that's on the network? That was part of WrestleMania 13. I mean, yeah, but that's on the network.
It may help somebody like me because, remember, on the PS3 search function, even if you search someone like Bret Hart, you get, like, 7 results.
Right.
So you'd actually have to look up the specific pay-per-views of the match you want to see. So it's kind of helpful for them to highlight some matches like that. I'm not saying
Maybe.
It's a good idea, but it's really funny because the PS3 search function is horrible.
Right. But
one thing
I will say they did right today, though, really, really well. The custom bumpers for specific pay-per-views were wonderful.
Hmm.
You didn't see it. Maybe you stepped away. They had them for the NWO.
Cutaway promo was excellent, by the way. The whole, like, did you know? And then they cut to the black and white and...
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That
and they did
superb.
That for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I thought that. Mm-hmm.
And then they did another one for ECW as well.
Yes, they did. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. So things like that are wonderful because it makes people think, no, you don't understand. Like, you have a lot on here. Like, they should have been doing this from day one. It's a bit silly that they just thought, we should tell them that we have a network, and then they will buy. Like, they really should have been doing this stuff from day one because this is some amazing information that they really needed to throw out there. But, hey, I mean, Cena and Heyman, the actual Raw itself, that was nice,
touching on actual Raw, which was a very, I don't know if I want to say mixed bag because I think I liked it a little bit more than you. But we were both left with a positive flair in our mouth.
I do have a positive taste in my mouth, right? You know, there was a lot of good in this Raw. It's just that they did a lot bad, and I feel like some of it was, you know, putting aside the Bo Dallas thing, because Bo Dallas thing, I think it was, you know, dumb, but I don't think it was the thing in the world. It's the Paige thing that really gets me.
Okay.
And we'll get to that later.
We'll definitely talk about that.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, this was still something amazing. Right, Cena, Heyman, and then Cena, Lesnar, Cesaro, that was an amazing thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that was really well done.
Cena in the beginning wasn't really grasping me. Like, to be honest, I wasn't caring again. I was appreciative of the fact that he wasn't joking so much about it.
Right.
But he didn't get me. It was the exchange after that really got me. Where,
yeah.
You know, when Cena gets passionate, he can be galvanizing. People can care. People can sit there and think, wow, this guy really does deserve to win or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's almost what it felt like for his second part of the promo, where in the beginning I was just like, shut up, man. Yeah, woohoo. You know people don't like you, and you're going to fight. Great, John.
No, I'll say this much. I think that Lesnar is a weird person for him to decide to be serious with, if only because you can make your funny jokes about Lesnar, because regardless, at the end of the day, he's going to kick your ass. You know, there's other people that he's been jokey-jokey with that are really bad, because it's like, John, they don't have that Lesnar barrier that Lesnar has.
Right, like Bray
was a thing
like that, where he's not going to beat you down, like, completely with a chair and, like, bloody you up. That's not his M.O. So,
yeah.
I see what you're saying, that no matter what you say about Lesnar, he defines himself.
Also, we have ourselves a caller. I'd like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, hello, Daniel.
Biggie stole your gimmick and made it better. Now he watches things live instead of just on TV. And he's still black. I just hope that you know that, Daniel. Good evening.
And now he's doing with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
So
because,
not only did he step up your gimmick of watching TV and being black, he got two other people to do it with him, one of them in a suit who looks really good. So,
yeah.
You know,
and then the two of them are also black, as if this WWE says, this is what we think black people do. Just stand there and watch TV.
Hey, you know,
like,
to be fair, Xavier Woods pretty much has a PhD in storyline. So, you know, it's not the worst thing.
He has a PhD
thing.
In general.
He does have a real PhD, right? Is that confirmed? Like, did he actually complete a
PhD?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that he was a while ago. He was in the, you know, he was actually going to school for it. And I can only assume that he was not focused, you know, he wasn't really focused on much on TV because he was pursuing that and finishing that up.
I was charging him.
But he has an actual PhD. Like, he's a doctor. Like, I mean, that's what kind of really makes it upsetting when, you know, we talk about the race thing in WWE and everyone, really, where it's just, you know, you have Xavier Woods not being, you know, like, he's really intelligent, and he's good at what he does. So it's just like, ah.
Yeah, but
that's
Xavier Woods, they buried him with R-Truth real quick, real fast.
They didn't have to bury him with R-Truth. They did.
No, look, his client, R-Truth, tonight broke the streak, and that's no joke.
You shut your mouth. But, yeah, he did. So we're talking.
Yeah, so, yeah, you guys were I came in late when you guys were talking about the Cena-Cesaro thing, Cena-Cesaro.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about. So, what did you think about Cena and Heyman?
Okay, Cena-Heyman exchange, I like it. I really like that Heyman's a genius when it comes to friggin' selling pay-per-views and promos and all that. But Cena didn't get me because it was like, yeah, it's your normal thing, but you're taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, that's
I don't
the thing.
Care.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I like that he was taking it more seriously, but as I said before, he didn't need to do this. Like, this time he could have been more entertaining and try to get the kids to think, it's okay, I'm not going to get murdered. Just to make us all think, oh, no, kid, he's going to get murdered.
And then,
you know?
Like, look. I just, like, look at this kid. Your hero is about to get beat by a freaking monster.
That's the thing. Beat is, like, beat's the cute word. Like, beat's like the PG-13 word. He's going to get brutally slaughtered.
Yes.
It's funny, because I thought you were going to say fucked up. I'm like, you said that's the kid word. I'm like, is the next step up fucked up? Because brutally slaughtered, that's still PG.
Fair enough. You're gonna get fucked.
Yeah,
no,
that's
but,
what I'm thinking. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're gonna get fucked up, son.
Like, it's going to be where they're going to, like, catch, like, a video thing of, like, Cena blading his leg. Where it's like he will be bleeding everywhere. Like, literally it's gonna be like, so yeah, like,
you
no kid. where is John Cena not bleeding?
Wow. Remember the John Cena match when he did was him and what's it called? JBL and a
bull rope match?
And an I Quit match? I Quit match.
I remember is that, well, I remember John Cena bleeding. I believe he bled in that one a lot, right?
Yeah, he bled a lot. I want
that. Remember that one?
I
believe it was the
that.
Last Man Standing with Umaga. He also bled a lot.
No, not with Umaga. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of the one with Kali, yeah. With Umaga, he did bleed a lot.
Oh, God, Kali. But, yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, they're going to, like, something bad, either something really, really bad is going to happen in terms of, like, you're going to see Cena bleeding everywhere and go, oh, God. Or something really bad is going to happen and Cena's going to be standing over Lesnar.
Oh, that's really, really bad.
With three titles. Those two, the Undisputed, the old United States, I'm adding more, not just three. The old United States, the tag team titles, the Divas title. John Cena's going to win every single title, basically. I'll just understand.
And I really, and for some reason, I really don't like that the fact that they call him the greatest champion. That irks me.
It should irk you.
Yes, my mind actively senses it. I don't remember
like,
it being said tonight.
It wasn't said tonight, I think.
No, it was not.
Well, here's the thing. What I think they're trying to do here, and I don't know how this sounds to you guys, but I think that what they're trying to do with Cena here, they're trying to just make him feel as if he's so welcome here to the point where it's just, you know, please don't leave us. Because I don't know if you've heard, Daniel. I believe you've heard, Satish. There's some rumors going around that, you know, this might be his last WWE run because of all the attention he's getting from Hollywood. You know, where, you know, he's getting older. He's 37. Sorry, not 37? Yes, 37. He's 37. And he is just, you know, his body is not, I mean, you can see some of his matches recently. They aren't as, you know, as good as they used to be. And I know it's funny. It's, oh, well, Cena used to be good. Compared to what he can do right now or what they don't want him to do, it's pretty embarrassing to have your champion really be limited in a lot of ways to where it's just, you know, to where it's like, and it's funny because this match was pretty good with Cesaro, but I'm sure Cena a couple years ago, maybe, would have been allowed to do a lot more. Let's say.
Yeah, it was.
Where?
Well, with all those injuries to his neck and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that this might be his last. So I feel as if they're just, you know. So John Cena's our WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Yes, he is. Is he like what kind of champion is he? Oh, he's the greatest of all time. Because that'll make him stay. It's like, I mean, hell, he even gave him a line that I really think helped with that, where he had the, you know, he threw on the line, like, this is my life, which I know is obviously, it might just sound standard, you know, elsewhere, but when you're kind of adding it with the whole, like, oh, so is he going to leave? And he's screaming, this is my life. This is my everything. I would never leave this place. And everyone's like, yeah, he never will. Woo. So, I mean, there's a chance that they really want to make him happy, and they also want to make anyone who's trying to doubt, like, oh, well, Cena's old. Nope, he's staying, and he loves it. He's not leaving to that Hollywood, like that rock guy.
No, but they can't give him the title any more times.
No, they cannot. Though Satish, I know Satish would love it if he got it, like, two or three more times. But
that would be
I
the worst
would,
possible
would,
thing on the planet, and, you know, it can't even be joked about. Why?
I,
you know, after this... I almost understood it for this run because of desperation and lack of Daniel Bryan. But
Right. It
was almost their own fault where they didn't book anybody into a position where it would make sense for them to have the title. So they had to default to Cena because of their own booking.
Basically, yeah. Because they had a lot of good people in this weird mid-card, upper mid-card thing. And then all of a sudden when people start breaking up, you know, it's like, oh, look, Cesaro broke up with Swagger, and, you know, and Roman Reigns was still kind of, you know, with the Shield. That's awesome. So Cesaro, you know, should get a push. Actually, no. Cesaro is now mid-card lost. Oh, Roman Reigns is broken up, and now he's getting a push. Awesome. So we cannot push Cesaro. But if you guys tried, maybe he could have been, like, something before, you know. They have a lot of potential. No, they just have a lot of potential that they were just kind of just sitting on their thumbs with it.
So the good thing is the match itself was awesome.
Satish, you mentioned the match was sloppy.
Yeah, they were sloppy in terms of me being overly critical. You know, so
yeah.
I should be fair. Because I liked the match. I was very happy with it. There was just like, you know, the Hurricanrana was a little bit close. There were some moments that were a little bit sloppy to me. But I was being very critical. And it's not to say I didn't enjoy the match, because I did. And you were right in the beginning, Matt. You said something to me along the lines of, I think Cena likes Cesaro. And
yes.
It's kind of obvious he must, and I agree with you, because when you look at the way this match went, compared to the last one too, which was also equally long, it was very good, Cena used the top rope FU to take him out today.
Right.
I mean, that's like
that
a mega
finish. That was reserved for Bobby Lashley.
What about Bobby Lashley?
That was reserved. That was the first time the first time Cena used the top rope.
That's very interesting. Well, and of course, that's the thing. If you want to protect the person that you're fighting against, that's what you do. And it's funny, because, I mean, I don't know. I guess some people say, well, that's why he didn't beat Bray Wyatt in a way that was clean. It's like, yeah, but that's heelish behavior. This was a clean, really big, tough, strong guy win that also made Cesaro look really good in comparison, because, like, it would be, you know, I mean, again, Cesaro did his thing to Cena off the top rope, yes, but it's not as if Cesaro did the neutralizer off the top rope. Like, if Cesaro did the neutralizer off the top rope and didn't break Cena's neck in the process, and Cena kicked
Cesaro
out
Cesaro didn't get to do the neutralizer, though, which I liked, because
yes.
One of the things that they do wrong with these Cena matches is, like, on Raw, they'll have him kick out of, like, a finisher like the neutralizer. And because of that, it kind of devalues the finisher.
It really does.
So by Cesaro not being able to pin him with the uppercut, that's fine, because he doesn't normally pin people with the uppercut. And he got pinned by a super FU, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that a lot, I'll be honest. And
I did as well.
Yeah,
but,
it worked out pretty well.
I got one thing to say, though. John Cena should never ever do a Hurricanrana again.
I am agreeing with you completely there, partially because I call that the sloppier part of the match, but also because really, John, you have 5 moves of doom. We know that. You know that. Stick to your bread and butter before you hurt somebody in the process.
You see, the problem is that he used to be slightly better with that, and it was the last time he did that to Cesaro in their match, he was a lot healthier, or at least he was a lot less worn out. Something where he did it, and I thought, ooh, Cena Carana. Okay, this is new. Where now he did it, and it's like, oh, God, no, Cena Carana, huh? So, and that's what I think happened there. Also, one thing I would like to say, we always talk about different lines of dialogue from the announced team, some good, some bad. I would like to pick out one specifically that happened in this match. Michael Cole screamed, Cesaro headbutt, as if Cesaro is the 153rd Pokemon. I would like to put that out there. Like, Cesaro just, you know,
Is it Pokemon just wrestling with animals? that's wrong. Oh,
that's
wrong.
That's the exact way it is. You know, Daniel, that's the only, I've never heard it described better, except by everyone else. But anyway,
cue to cut him off. I think that's it. He's exhausted his welcome for the night with that.
Oh, thank you, sir. Finally.
Finally?
I muted Daniel.
Is he looking for us to cut you off?
I muted Daniel. He's probably cursing
really?
Up a storm right now. Yes, but I'll bring him back because I love him.
Oh, you jerks. You always...
He told you. He told you.
I can't hear
him. I thought you just cut him out of a pipe bomb where you cut off the pipe bomb. All we got was five.
How many times have you cut me off on this show? How many times?
3 times? I'm fairly certain it wasn't that many. But Daniel, thank you for calling in. We won't cut off anyone else. Unless it's Gio tonight. But thank you all. Thank you for calling in. And if anyone else wants to call in, please call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. Call in to talk about whatever we're talking about. We're talking about something that you like. Definitely call in.
Good night.
And also, Daniel, again, thank you for calling in. And have a good night. I was supposed to let him say good night, but the mouse clicked it for me. I'm sorry, Daniel.
Did you cut him off too early?
The mouse just clicked it, like, yeah, get that guy off here. And I'm like, no, he's supposed to say goodnight. I'm really upset.
Outside of that, which was kind of fun, we got to talk about Cena Cesaro, which I guess, yeah, left a good taste in our mouths. I know I've used that phrase already, but it did.
And, you know, and two things I want to mention before we move on, just two little things. First off, I don't know why, Cesaro put Cena into a submission move, which I was like, wait, what?
I'm not sure what that was, and the crowd wasn't sure either, but I think they were pleased with it. Because Cena looked like he was in pain, and everyone sat there like, yes, cause him pain.
Well, what I thought was really funny in my head, before I realized that the streak was going to be broken tonight, Bo's streak, and of course thinking about Undertaker's streak when writing this, I thought, will the streak be broken with John Cena? Will Cena tap? And it made me really think, when will Cena ever tap? Will there be a day where someone will put Cena in something that makes you think, yeah, Cena's old, and that's a really bad move. Like,
I feel like the last time he tapped was like the Crippler Crossface. I'm not even messing with you.
No, that's what I'm saying, where it was just, and that must have been, you know, the fact that Cena and Benoit were even in the same ring together makes me think, like, what, like 2005? Like, not even 2000, like,
yeah.
It had to be a long time ago. So, yeah, I mean, he hasn't tapped in God knows how long, and it's funny because he's big, he's a big guy, but he doesn't make me think of, like, Roman Reigns. When Roman Reigns tapped to anyone, you know, it better be an ankle lock with a chainsaw. Being, you know, to his leg as well.
Well, Cena's logo is, like, kind of just never give up. I mean, I feel like that's kind of literal with him.
Yeah, quite literal. With WWE, everything's literal. But anyway, so, what do I say? Oh, yes. So the match, of course, really good. I'm happy that it was, made Cesaro look good. And what's great about it is that Cesaro matches are really hard to make bad unless you give, you know, you don't give him ample time, and, you know, especially last week's Monday Night Raw when we had Cesaro versus Dean Ambrose, and it really wasn't, you know, a good match, I think, because compared to their SmackDown match, which is a strange thing to say because it's SmackDown, but they had a very good match on SmackDown, which, made, you know, really makes you see that, you know, a lot of these guys and girls are really good at what they do. You just have to give them time, and if they're not given time, then, you know, the crowd isn't going to be behind them, and then people are going to, for some reason, make these assumptions that they're either bad or they're not as good as we know that they are.
Right.
Right. Also, we talked about Cesaro before, way before we were talking about Ring of Honor people. Yeah, he did a promo tonight. It wasn't the best thing in the world, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Glad that he got to talk. I mean, it was nice. That may have been one of the longest talking segments he's had in a while, outside of his little exchanges with Heyman. You know,
that's a big thing. And I bring up the in-ring thing, but it also matters when it comes to promos, because for a while, and think about this one, gang, right? How about you laugh at this with me? There was a time when people said, and they really said this is not a joke, this is not sarcasm, wow, that, you know, Wade Barrett guy, he really sucks on the microphone. WWE had not used him to the point where that's what people started to say. Before Bad News Barrett hit. And then everyone remembered, oh, that's right, he's actually very good. So again, I'm not saying that Cesaro is so great on the microphone, but he's serviceable, like, he can get the job done. Sure, it sounded like he fumbled a bit, which made me think, could he just have that as his gimmick, where he'll fumble things, you know, every once in a while, like, he'll say something like, you know, like, he'll say, like, to John Cena, he'll be like, oh, you know, you're fat, and you smell. And your dad gets beaten up when you bring him to events. Like, just the last thing is the one thing where it's just, like, the thing that makes the person snap. Like, what did you just say?
You know, and it worked out pretty well because of the fact, it was funny because in the beginning he sounded really lost. Like, look at you.
Yeah.
You are a big, walking billboard. I was like, what, Cesaro? At the same time, when he got to the thing at the end where it's like, you can't wrestle in sneakers, but, well, you just can't wrestle. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that was pretty good. Like, it was funny, and Heyman in the background is just, like, laughing his ass off, and I'm like, this is good.
What's great is I didn't know, I thought I heard someone in the crowd laughing hysterically, and then I realized that was Heyman, and then I laughed hysterically.
Heyman's good at what he does.
He really is. He really
also,
and
his surprise at the hug was hilarious.
Yes. Also,
like, Cesaro hugged him, and he was just like, why is this man hugging me? Get him away.
I'm a huge fan of the idea that, you know, it's like, sure, we've separated, but that does not mean that I hate you. And I was like, good. Good, it does. Good. Because that, wouldn't that be terrible? I've made an enemy. I've made an enemy of you, Paul Heyman, because I said that I did not want to be your business partner. Okay. And then we move on. Like, that would be terrible.
Yeah, I actually thought that was done very well, to be honest with you.
Yes. They needed to do that. And then, of course, we have, you know, we move on, we move forward, we truck forward. Stephanie, Triple H, Randy Orton, they had a little segment. And, by the way, I have a question for you. I listened to the script for this. I listened to the delivery. And something about it just felt very weird. And it wasn't that it was bad, necessarily. But it felt too much like okay, remember how, actually, you might not have seen SmackDown. But on SmackDown, they brought the Miz's parents on.
Okay.
Did you hear about this?
I did not. So please,
Mom's acting. The mom's acting was a bit wooden, and it's kind of funny because the Michael Cole actually addressed this, and the Miz was like, "Look, she's just nervous, right?" So I'm not saying they were wooden here exactly, but they were so fast, which is something that can happen when you know people are acting like in you know college or whatever. That they were so fast with their script that maybe if it was a bit shorter, it would have felt like, "Yeah, this is a natural progression." But it was written in a way that when they said it very fast, Triple H and Randy Orton, you know, specifically, it felt as if they were just they were like Light Yagami and L, where they just had a quip for the other one immediately. Like, I don't know, it felt kind of off to me, where it just felt as if, no matter what, I don't know why this one specifically, you know, got to me that way, but it felt as if, no matter what one said, the other one was like, yes, like, immediately, as if it's just like, of course I know what you're going to say. Like, I can read you clearly. Like, don't you know I'm a super genius?
I don't know. I don't know about wooden and stuff because I don't really remember much of what Steph and Triple H said. So if it was forgettable to me, maybe it's what
you're
describing.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. Not even them. It was only Triple H and Randy Orton when they were going off on each other. Like, are you
that's funny because I actually was going to say I liked that part because I really liked the exchange.
Like
I liked it because of the fact that you know they were really they know each other very well. You know, and they were in Evolution for a while. And
yeah,
they worked together for a while recently. And Randy's really angry. And it's sort of like Triple H knows why Randy's angry. And he's just like,
maybe it's script that.
I don't know.
Because
I like it. And I love the script of the whole, like, you know, I've got a problem with Roman Reigns, I've got a problem with Kane, and I've got a problem with you. And then Lee's, I thought that was really, like, well done. And especially when it was
maybe
followed
it was just
up.
The delivery then. Maybe just the delivery. Because something about it just felt like, you have a problem? Yeah, I have a problem. What's your problem with you? Like, it felt as if it was just too much. I don't know how to really describe it so much as, it really wasn't what.
That's weird, because it's why, because that appealed to me. And I see that it didn't to you, so that's interesting. Because it's not
I'm
like.
Not even, it's
not
even
like
that
I'm
didn't
saying
appeal
they
to me.
Need to do this. I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's not as extreme
thing.
As anything for
I,
us, but.
It's weird, though, because the thing is that it's not even that I didn't like it because I heard what he was saying, and I enjoyed what he was saying, and I enjoyed the interaction. Just something about the interaction felt foreign.
So maybe it
like
was the delivery.
Foreign.
I'll give you that. Maybe it was the
yeah.
delivery because that wasn't – see, here's the thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Were you around when Jericho came back in the beginning against Randy Orton?
No.
Okay, well, one of the things he mocked in his opening promo
right.
was – this whole monotonous Randy Orton delivery. And Randy Orton used to constantly get mocked for the fact that he would deliver his promos like this. And
that's great.
Because I'm Randy Orton, I'm the Viper. You should be intimidated by me. And he used to be really mocked for this kind of monotonous, boring almost promo style. And so for me, being a fan of Randy Orton for years and hearing this go on, I think I kind of enjoyed the kind of spirit that was from him tonight. And then
fair enough,
that reminded me of like young Randy, like young exclamation point Randy, where he was like the legend killer and
oh,
just
yeah.
like
so
the
there
sparky
there was
kind
a-
of. And there was a lot of
yeah.
that brutality, excuse me, like the
there
early
was.
Viper stuff tonight. And,
there was,
you know,
and
you
I
loved
it
as much as I did.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, okay, fair enough. And I will admit that about the segment, the fact that there's a chance that Orton can turn on the authority, right, but not
right.
make him look like a super awesome good guy is something that we need, I think, where we need so we need people who can be against the authority but who could still be booed in a way, where it's like, okay, well, you know, we might boo you less than you with the authority. But that doesn't mean that you, as Randy Orton, should be, you know, the second coming of Jesus Christ, as
right,
is someone
like we hate
Daniel
the authority,
Bryan.
But Randy Orton,
right.
you still murdered Roman Reigns. Like, we're not going to
yeah,
forgive
exactly.
your sins because you're fighting the good fight. So,
exactly. Exactly. Which isn't even really the good fight. It's just a fight because of the fact that they're not giving him what he needs, which does suck at
which
moment.
Is a selfish fight.
Yeah, which I will admit, though, does suck at the end of the day with the promo where they're, for some reason, acting as if this is a, like, this is a, okay, if we're going to have Brie Bella come and try to sue Stephanie, which is still a good storyline, by the way, there's no reason why we can't have Randy Orton say, you know that's in my contract, right? Like, I'm not just coming up to you and saying, pretty please, Mr. Hunter, can I have a title shot? That's in the contract. You know, like, I can take you to court over that. You want to blur lines here. Brock Lesnar took them to court. So, if you really want to just start to talk about reality errors
Brock
here.
Brock Lesnar took them to real life court, didn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, to real life court. There's no reason why we can't have Randy Orton make a slight reference to just, hey, you know, I mean, I like,
if
I need
Bree's
to.
Doing it.
Yeah, right, if Bree's doing it. If Brock
I
is
agree,
doing,
actually. It's very good thinking.
Also, now that we move forward, I know Paige is your favorite, you know, female on the roster, your favorite diva, if you want to use that term, on the roster.
Righto.
How did you feel about this segment?
Righto.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. It's so easy to take Paige and establish her as a powerful, evil heel. And they're just working so hard to not do that. And it was funny, because when she skipped to the ring, up to that point, I was very happy. Because in my head, I'm like, she killed AJ last week, and now she's just skipping to the ring. This is
great. That's why.
And I'm thinking to
myself,
you know, this is going to be great.
That's why you need to see SmackDown. Because I saw SmackDown, which, by the way, was a really good SmackDown. I would argue, if anyone wants to see a good SmackDown, watch the one that just happened on Friday, which is very hard for me to say when, some, you know, the SmackDown before that for the go-home show for Battleground was terrible. And usually SmackDowns just have a way of being, you know, there. But this SmackDown was really good, except that one of the issues was Paige basically saying, hey, I'm still AJ's friend. And it made me sit back and go, so you guys don't care about women, do you? And continue with what you were saying, and then I'll follow up with what I mean by that.
Well, for me, what really upset me after was that, so she's cutting this promo, like, oh, AJ's still my friend. I'm like, no, she's not. First, you're playing up the fact that you're young. They're basically saying, I'm a young, stupid woman. You can't count on me to be consistent and make decisions, which is stupid.
Which is like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Then, on top of the fact that we know that she's bullshitting, because we know she's bullshitting, when AJ comes out, you manage to spin this into a you're crazy, AJ, thing. Are you... How did you manage... And I really hope they salvage this. But how WWE did you manage to ruin what could be a perfect feud in about 2.5 minutes.
I will say this much, though. One line, which is the one you just talked about, that did make me laugh, I have to be honest. And I think it was her delivery, saying, AJ, I am your real friend. And if you don't believe that, then I guess you're crazy. Like, as if to, like, because it only made me sit there and think, like, are you fucking serious, Stage? Like, honestly, like, you're really going to throw this card out there? And then,
like, you laugh out of ridiculousness, though. Are you really going there? And it's not even a are you going there page thing. It's like WWE, are you really trying to do this again? Like,
I think they're trying to do it more as a relation to her character, you know, AJ's character, which is, you know, are you trying to call me crazy? Because I'm not crazy. But the problem, though, I think, the reason why it's a problem that they're going there is because we thought we got a double face heel turn, That's what we thought we had. But no, we had AJ being a heel in a way, because it's, and I say heel because she still kind of called Paige names, and I know it sounds silly, but, you know, we had a turn, so that's still there when it was there when she was a heel, and then we had Paige being like, no, I'm still a face, and it's like, but you're clearly two-faced here. And
you know, like,
just,
that whole thing
you,
kind of bothered me, man.
It honestly, that's something that can take it down a whole letter grade, to the point where if there's someone who is thinking, maybe there's hope for this women's division, and that's actually what's keeping me here, they can leave. And that's
see,
a
that's
huge problem.
How do I show that to people and then say, you know, hey, these are the two women that are going to change the women's division? That really irks me. And again, that's not a slight on Emma or anything crazy like that, but it's just a matter of, these are the people who I have invested my hopes in. these two specifically. Right. And I love them. I think they're incredibly talented. And, yes, they're both very beautiful young ladies. So everything that you want in a WWE women's wrestler is there. They're talented. They look the part because WWE, unfortunately, cares about that still a lot. And they're good on them. Mike, it's just – and this feud – books itself. AJ came back. She took the title. Paige tried to be her friend. Now she's frustrated because AJ has the title, and she wants the title back. So she's going to go heel and beat the crap out of Paige. I'm going to beat the crap out of AJ. That's it. You know, it just you establish Paige as a heel, even if she loses, a very powerful heel who can easily go over the rest of the roster in the meantime. And it's just a matter of why would you not take the easy feud for once? You don't have to make this about a woman being crazy. You don't have to do this frenemy thing. You don't have to do this, like, you don't have to overdo this for once.
Yeah, no, this is why I say it's sexism. And if it isn't, here's the thing. It's either one or two things. And the first thing is me being a negative. If it's not sexism, then you know what it is? It's WWE thinking, oh, damn, they have our feud down. We must do something to change it. And then they do the stupidest possible thing in the world because, sadly, if we are going to lose TNA, because there's some rumors that we may be losing TNA to television deals, they, you know, their television deal, so we may never be seeing TNA again on television, maybe. If that does happen, now LOL WWE is definitely solidified. If they're sitting here thinking, oh, no, damn it, you know, oh, no, they've seen that Daniel Bryan will become the Royal Rumble winner. We must make it Sheamus. You know, we're just, no, let him come back from injury and win. Nope, they saw it coming. It has to be Sheamus. No, right? Things like that. So that's me being less negative, calling WWE stupid, right?
Right.
Me being negative now is saying that they're sexist. Now, why do I say this? Well, first off, okay, the fact that you mentioned that women's line, where, you know, where Paige said, I'm a woman, how can you, that's the perfect really description of this promo, because even though it's sort of a different situation, still I would like to point out, think about Seth Rollins, right? Seth Rollins basically, even though he betrayed his brothers, still in a way you had Paige betray AJ and do this heel turn thing, which was supposed to be a heel turn thing. What if Seth Rollins on Tuesday, or if they waited the full week, next Monday, or even on SmackDown, said, come on, I mean, I'm a man. Like, what, you expect me to be a count? Like, come on, like, I'm still friends with Dean Ambrose and Roman, right? Why would I not be?
Yeah,
like, why do you, like,
furious, because you just sit there and be like, how do we take that seriously? We know what you're in it for, the title. We know you betrayed them. Just do it, you know, stick with it.
Yeah. Like, how silly does that, like, and that's the thing where someone says, like, you know, like, oh, that will never happen. And that's the problem. That will never happen to Rollins. That will never happen to, I mean, hell, we said things about Brodus Clay, but that didn't happen to Brodus Clay. You know, that didn't happen to Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil is still a heel. That shouldn't rhyme. But, you know what I mean?
The heel. Slater Gator.
Slater Gator. Oh, God, that's actually – anyway, but still, even though he's in this kind of weird thing with, you know, the Slater Gator, it still doesn't make Titus O'Neil a face. It just makes it like a Goldust kind of Booker T situation, right? So it's just, you know, it's a situation where it's just why do you think that's appropriate in any – like who – it's mind-boggling where it feels as if someone looked at the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, they saw – that this is what we were clamoring for, and then they thought, we can never give them that. And what's even funny, and this is funny in the saddest of ways, like you said, how can we show this to other people? Like, this is like, it's making me worry for WWE, if only because it's making you really sit there and think, so do you guys want to end up like those guys that are now not, you know, if Spike lets them go, they don't have anywhere else to go? Because I really want to sit there and have someone, you know, who works on USA, right, slipping through channels for some reason, like really high up, slipping through channels, and then seeing Paige basically say, don't take me seriously because I'm a woman. And then have them sit there and go, is this good? Should we have this on our network?
Yeah, and also the whole, like, you know, I'm young, I'm indecisive thing, that's also pretty dumb. Because what are you putting out there? Is it because she's young, you know, she's our age, she makes stupid decisions? I take offense to that. I take honest offense to that. I'm about to go to grad school.
And with and,
don't,
and,
you know,
and something
don't
else.
Play with me, WWE. I know that I'm just one guy, but it's like you're going to offend some people.
Like Mark? No, but seriously.
He might stop
watching wrestling. He might. No, but seriously, the thing that gets me, I think, is the fact that, you know, I mean, yes, you did have Heyman last week make fun of the kids. Right, that is true. You did have that. So fair enough. They got theirs in too. But you saying that does actually make a good point. Are you trying to say that 21-year-old women who have money, by the way, think about that, 21-year-old women have the ability to have a job, right?
And come
have
from good families.
I would assume so. But the point is, compared to, let's say, like small little children, where in theory, small little children, well, they can help push your merchandise. They can't help push certain things like the network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you basically telling 21-year-old women, we don't want your money for our network? That's what I feel like they're doing at certain points, where they're basically telling certain demographics, listen, we don't want your money. Which is mind-boggling when the company needs money more than anything. Like, even if it wasn't sincere, I would take insincere gender equality now more than anything. Insincere gender equality, as if saying, well, that's what everyone wants. We're going to give it to them, right? But because this is mind-boggling. Like, they cannot seriously – that would be scary. Would it be scary if they just sat there and thought, but this is gender equality? And
yeah.
Then there's cricket. No, I
mean,
it
almost scares me to think that there are people in the back sitting there thinking that it's good booking to book one woman as crazy and the other one is saying, I'm young and irresponsible, that is why I hurt her. Not like I want the title. Because for God's sakes, you're in WWE, you want that title. Of course you want that title. No one's going to blame you for wanting the woman's title. Who could? You know, you want to be the top dog.
Yeah, no, and it's sad because there's certain things that she could have said differently, kind of like how we mentioned with the promo with Lana and Rusev, where, yeah, not Rusev, but Lano and Zeb, Lano, yeah, Lano, welcome Lano. So with Lana and Zeb, where Zeb kind of said, oh, hey, you know, fight like a man and stuff like that, was like, Zeb, you could have just said person, you could have just said, right, where in this situation, all Paige had to say was, I'm actually very sorry. You know, I have a mean streak. You know, I have a temper. Clearly, I went a little off there. I did not mean to do that. I wish to still be friends with AJ. Hopefully, we can work this out. And
yeah, that
would have
been fine. That would have been. I mean, it still would have been a really bad way to turn this thing, but in terms of scripting it, if you really needed it to go this way, it would have worked a lot better that way.
Here's the thing. If they really, here's what they could have done if they wanted to go that route. They could have made that happen because we still have some time until SummerSlam. You know, we still have some time.
Right, two weeks plus?
I thought we had more.
We may have a third because I know that there's a little extra.
I believe we have a third, and that's why we still have some time. So if you want to give her another week of this and then boom, you know, full hammer. Something like that, where she's like, oh, okay, we see what's going on here. It's a bit different than her skipping to the ring. And it was funny because, yeah, if you didn't see SmackDown, which when I saw this happen on SmackDown, I thought, ooh, I mean, it's kind of silly that she's mocking AJ because I want her to be more serious with it. But, hey, she's mocking AJ. But, no, that was not a mock. That was a tribute.
Kind of was weird.
AJ is
like,
her best
when
friend.
Michael Cole announced it as, oh, she's paying homage to Paige, I couldn't tell if he was being, like, really dumb or... And then, you know, my or unfortunately got realized when I heard her start talking, and I was like, oh, it was the or. It was the or. They're trying to be friends.
Also, as I mentioned, as I will mention later with Bo, I'll mention it now as well. Why do we have NXT? That's what this makes me feel. Why do we have NXT, honestly?
Do you mean televised?
More televised, prominent, out there NXT. Why do we not have it the way it used to be, where it's just, yeah, Florida Championship Wrestling. I mean, if people go there, I guess they can see the show. You know, why do we have a televised, get to know these characters. Buy the network so you can get to know these characters. Hey, look, this character was from NXT. That none of that matters. Why does any of that matter in a world where Paige can do this? And this is considered progression.
Yeah, Paige being probably the worst of the bunch because she's been brought up, they gave a complete 180 in turning her from a heel to a face, a sympathetic, like, lovable face in terms of her being the young and up-and-comer. And then now when they're trying to give her a heel turn, they're half-assing it. And she's not even getting to be the whole anti-diva, like, powerful, dominant force she was before. And it just, it irks me because you look at people like Bray, who got to keep their gimmick. You know, and that works.
And it hurts
you know
me.
Why?
Yeah,
because it works
in
NXT.
Because, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what I find, and I'm sorry to try and interrupt you, it's just like, it angers me. It's really getting to me. It's like, I find to be the fact that we've talked about them throwing away money. Right, tonight. They're bleeding money. They're trying to throw away more money. They're trying to throw away because what are you trying to tell people with this happening? You know, this whole Paige thing. Are you trying to say, they try to say, go watch NXT on the network. You watch NXT. This isn't Paige at all. Right? So this isn't, like, you know what I mean? So are you trying to tell them, just stick with NXT and never watch our main roster, which is terrible because of ads and the fact that you want ratings, or watch the main roster, never go on NXT, never get that network that we really need you to get. Like, why can't it just be a whole, like, how hard is it? Like, there's certain things I understand that it can be hard. How hard is it for you to basically just play Paige right? How hard is it to not write that, how hard is it for someone writing scripts not to think, that's right, she's young, so she should be stupid. Well, of course. Also, she should have anger issues. Of course. She should actually be borderline crazy. Perfect. Why, sitting there like, well, of course. I mean, like, literally, she should be borderline crazy. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, she's a woman. Like, so where can we find someone backstage who can be heard, by the way, who won't be silenced, for being able to say, I think they should wrestle matches?
It is funny
and
because
just,
I can't believe that they sit there and they think, all right, so she did this in NXT, and she was good at it. Let's not make her do that? Like, where...
Yeah.
Where in any... And for those people who watched her, through NXT to now, you must be really confused because you sit there, and if you're not part of, like, an internet wrestling community, you're not talking with people on blogs, or you don't talk with, like, a lot of people, you sit there and you think to yourself, like, Paige was never young and stupid in NXT. Yeah, of course she was young, but she was never, like, young and stupid. You know, that was never a point of contention. Why is that a point of contention now? Why did she suddenly become stupid when she made it up to the main roster? I mean, there are pressures and stuff like that. Sure, we can talk about that. But, like, why is she now only stupid? Like, shouldn't she have been exposed in NXT? Like, why is this never talked about? And it irks me so much because then you look at Emma, another woman called up from NXT, very talented. And, I mean, you go back a few months, Emma and Paige had a 4-to-5-star wrestling match on NXT Arrival. And you think, wow, they're going to, like, lay the path for the future. They've given Emma nothing, and they've watered down Paige. And it hurts because it almost feels like it's on purpose, where it's like you have a vagina, you just can't, like, if there actually is a glass ceiling for them. And that really hurts me to see because I want to think we're in a time of, like, some progression, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's sad because you would hope that if there is a glass ceiling, the glass ceiling is because there's only one Divas title, which is an upsetting one, but it's one that we've had for a very long time, right? So, that's their glass ceiling. No, their glass ceiling is actual character progression. Heaven forbid they're people.
What?
They, as if women aren't like people that I know, that I date. You know, no, women aren't people. It's mind-boggling. And it's insanity. That's all I can really describe it as. Just pure, and we've kind of joked in the past about conspiracy, but I would like to bring up the joke again because these are Triple H's call-ups, obviously. These are Triple H, Triple H works very hard at NXT, and you have certain people in the back, like Kevin Dunn, who... don't really appreciate women so much. So you can possibly see this thing of, Triple H, there's some really amazing wrestlers who've come up, they can definitely do very, very good things in the ring. And, let's pitch something for them. And someone goes, they have tits. Okay, Kevin, glad to hear it. So how are we going to push them? Did you know they also had vaginas? Yes, I did know that, Kevin. So how are we going to push these? As if it's just...
I'm sorry to harp on this, but it really wouldn't surprise me to hear that Kevin Dunn isn't high on Paige because she isn't a D-cup.
Yeah, I mean...
And I mean that. And I want you to think about that, the people who are listening to us, because that is based off what Alex Greenfield has told us to be actual quotes from Kevin
Alex
Dunn.
Alex Greenfield, by the way, being a former writer for the WWE, and was around the time of 2006, which also was around the time of that amazing storyline with Trish Stratus and Mickey James.
Mickey James.
Yes, of course. I don't know. We're gonna move on, and you know, it's just an upsetting situation. Yeah, begrudging because we can talk about this for a very long time, and we may even do that for a show. But you know, kind of going through the past and stuff, because I said this before and I'll say it again. We're growing, but dear God, if it's not a really hard uphill battle.
And it almost feels like it's a one step forward, two steps back thing at times. It really does.
Because after last week, we were sitting here, I was sitting here going, I told you, didn't I tell you, because I told you, you know, about this whole progression thing. And then it's just, actually, I was wrong. Forgive me for thinking we were moving in the right direction. And, of course, not helping that, not realizing that they were harming anything, but not helping that are the people in the crowd chanting CM Punk, which has actually gotten some people.
God. I forgot to complain about that. And I hate to complain about everything. But my God, Matt, they need to stop.
And it's upsetting because they just probably, like, all they think they're doing, right? This is what they think they're doing. That girl, she married Punk. She married Punk good. So they think that they're cheering. Yeah, you married Punk. Punk C. M. Punk C. Q. Punk. They can't spell. So that's what they think that they're doing. Right, what they're actually doing, which they don't even realize, is saying, so I don't really care about these two competitors in the ring. I'm going to scream for the guy that isn't coming back. Because I don't think that there's any bad intentions. I don't think that they're thinking, oh, AJ sucks. They're probably just playing us an association game where it's like, so what happens if you see the thing block? CM Punk. That's what I think that they're doing. But sadly, it's making some people on the, you know, and it's funny to say some people on the internet, but it's some people that we think, you think you're surrounded by a lot of intellectuals, right? And then someone on the forum that you're on, and again, a lot of intellectuals on cage side seats, right? And then one person says, well, they're chanting because they just think that AJ's bad. And honestly, AJ should probably just, you know, take that in stride, and she should just use CM Punk's move and wear, you know, and wear his gear. And you sit there and you think,
she shouldn't,
oh my
and she
God.
Doesn't need to.
Because she's
so great, regardless of the fact that she is not good because she's married to CM Punk. She is good regardless. If she divorced CM Punk, she would still be damn good at everything that she does.
Oh, yeah.
And it really irritates me that they feel the need to chant this. Look, every once in a while, if she made a mention of being married, or she made it, there was something that was directly.
If she does the GTS. I would understand,
like
or the Anaconda Vice.
GTS or the Diving Elbow, the Anaconda Vice, anything like that, you know. You want to chant CM Punk? That makes sense. I agree. Randomly in a segment, I'm getting really tired of it. I am getting really, really
because
tired
the thing
of
is,
it.
Because the issue is that, again, people without any, you know, malice are playing an association game when they forget that just the month prior, which sucks because I'm starting to think maybe Vince McMahon has a point about, you know, the fans' memories. Just the month prior, when something stank to high heavens, they chanted CM Punk or Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
They forget that as if that was never a thing. So now all of a sudden, it's actually making some people who we would think would be a lot smarter than to make this association, except that it's actually understandable that some people would think, well, they must be chanting that because they think that the segment is terrible. And then maybe if people on the internet are thinking this, maybe people in the back are thinking this, which is even worse. Imagine if someone in the back thought that, oh, they didn't like the heel turn because they were chanting CM Punk. And as silly as that sounds, you know, for matches that the people didn't enjoy, they would chant CM Punk or Daniel Bryan.
It's really hard to think about this. I can't.
So let's just move forward with Triple H and Stephanie, you know, the segment that Jericho interrupted, and of course talk about how great Triple H is as a heel because he can not only entertain us, right, but when he's serious, he needs to be. And he's the best kind of villain, and here's why. And here's why his acting can be good, and here's why in this segment I really enjoyed him, because when he, the way he acted during this, right? The best kind of villain is the one that doesn't realize they're a villain, right? Because in acting class, you're told, you know, they don't tell you to be evil, or in some cases, you know, if, let's say you're in a scene where, you know, you're a female and the other person is meant to say, oh, you're a bitch, right? You're not supposed to go in there thinking you're a bitch. You know, you're supposed to go in there thinking, I am a person, I am a human being, you know, I am, you know, not that, you don't think, oh, I'm acting bitchy. No. You're thinking, I'm right. Whatever I say, this is what I believe, and I'm right. And then it's supposed to come out naturally, where the other person's like, wow, like, you're just so, you know, you're a bitch, or you're evil, you're a villain, you're a dick, yeah, right? And that's how it's supposed to come out. So Triple H, at the end of this, right, before the Jericho thing, really made you think, like, wow, really? This guy is doing this? Really?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh, you know, I can't believe all of you people were laughing. Like as if the, as if we're supposed to just forget. You kind of tormented Daniel Bryan. You know? And then Brie. And then Nikki. Actually, fuck you, Triple H. Like,
yeah, no, it was really funny where he tries to play the sympathy card, and it's like, H, we hate you. Of course we're going to laugh. And we hate your wife, too. You know, of course we're going to sit there and laugh when you guys are put in a position to struggle. Because you've been so, you know, and it just, and that's, again, a testament to Triple H's acting in the, you know, that's actually good booking. Where it's like, that's classic good heel stuff.
It is. Also, what did you feel about when Jericho came out? What was your first thought?
I have this whole, you know, I was happy when he came out, and then I didn't exactly like what he had to say.
Me neither.
Okay, so we're not alone.
Right. No, we aren't. And I would like to say, though, my first thought, though, because your first thought was obviously confusing. My first thought wasn't confusion. It was, oh, shit, he wants his undisputed title back. Like, that's what Jericho's for. He's back for the undisputed title, which I don't think he ever got back after he lost to Triple H.
No, it's years down the line, I guess we do owe you an undisputed championship rematch. Randy Orton in the back, what the fuck?
No, you know what I was waiting for? I was waiting for, you think this is funny, Chris? Well, I'm afraid, I've got some bad news. Oh, wait, no, he's injured. Shit. Bray Wyatt? Wait, no, he's already fought him. I know, the Vibe, shit. Seriously?
No, it was funny because Jericho's interruption, I thought in the beginning, like, to mock, like, the bad, up to the part where he started insulting Stephanie directly.
Right.
I was actually okay with. Like, the whole, like, singing the bad boy thing and stuff. I'm with that. That's Jericho. That's his character. I laughed. I enjoyed that. Up to the part where he was like, hey, H is realizing that Stephanie's a no-good dirty. I was like, guys, don't. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Because it didn't need to be. You know, it just
didn't.
It didn't
need
to
be. But at least Jericho is the kind of person that would do that. Like, here's the thing. I feel like there's Jericho, and The Rock is a bit of a bad one too, where he did that to Vicky Guerrero. But I will say though that compare Vicky Guerrero to Stephanie McMahon. You know, it's hard to do that. So I mean, the thing is though, here's what will get me right. And it sounds weird to point it out, if John Cena did it, and I feel like John Cena has done things like that, if not worse.
Yeah.
So John Cena is a guy who I feel like, John, you're here for the kids. Chris Jericho, you're here for us. You know, kids, don't do what Chris Jericho does. But it doesn't make it
that much better. But as you just said, it didn't need to happen. And the lead-in, like what they tied into the whole Bray Wyatt thing, it was very, very minor. I'm glad they did that because it saved it a little bit for me, but it still didn't take away from that whole little bit. I didn't like it. I liked the beginning. I didn't like where they went with it against Stephanie because it was very like, let's degrade women. That's funny, right?
The one thing I didn't like, though, and it's, even though, of course, that should be the big thing, another thing, that they, again, don't, remember when they said this, they've actually said this in two different rumor roundups on Cage Side Seats. They said, people working with the network don't know what they're doing, and I honestly believe this. Do you remember what someone wrote?
Raw is not going to be up for a month.
And a half. So it's like, this is why the WWE Network was created. We're going to be able to watch you get your hand, you know, get handcuffed over and over and over and over.
That was a really funny comment. In practice, we have to wait 90 days.
No. Yes, Chris, you can in a month and a half. But watch it on Hulu Plus tomorrow.
It's funny if he made that joke, by the way. Can you imagine?
I would have been so excited.
Because in a month and a half, you could wait.
I would have been excited.
After the show, he gets fined. Just like, Chris, we don't want you back. But it's true. I have the network. I try to watch myself on Raw, but I can't see it until after I've left the company. That's his actual conversation. It's like, I want to watch myself on Raw, Hunter.
Attitude Era Chris Jericho would have done that in a heartbeat.
Yes, he would. And we
Attitude
all would have laughed
Jericho,
at it, including me.
Attitude Era Chris Jericho would have said, yes, see me debuting, you know, Y2J debuting in the year 3000. You know, just watch my match in the year 3000 when all the matches will be on the WWE Network. When Rollins came out, I have to be honest with you. When Rollins came out, I thought, yeah, Rollins, do it. Cash in on Jericho's Jericho title. You can become Jericho if you just cash in.
And
it
that
was a weird thing.
Is one of the most prestigious titles in the world.
It is. It is.
It's funny because I also thought the Rollins run-in was done a little bit too, like, really weirdly timed.
I agree.
Because right as Triple H was saying, like, as for tonight, bam, in the back of the head, I was like, guys, give it a second. Like, let it sink in so we can realize what you said, and then let Rollins do the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Where I was just like, that's why I really thought, like, yeah, cash in. Why would you be, oh, you're fighting. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really how I felt.
So,
and then
you know, I mean, that was that.
Yeah. And then, right, and then we have a really awkward match, a six-man tag, which usually aren't they don't have the track record of being the best things in the world, but, I mean, we haven't had one in a, well, we've...
Yeah, no,
think,
in a
we
while,
have,
we have not had a bad one. I agree with what you're about to say.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I mean, I was going to say we haven't had one in a while, but then it dawned on me. We have had them in the main event, but we haven't really had them in the mid-card so much. I was like, oh, this is actually kind of new and interesting, but no, nothing special really happened. I mean, Dolph won, which is nice.
I'm happy that Dolph won because, A, I'm biased, and I always like when Dolph wins.
Of course.
But it was just
kind of
like, all right, I was hoping for some kind of action from the Xavier Woods group.
I'm calling them the New Nation, but okay.
All right.
I just think that the New Nation should have done something rather than, because again, we made the joke before, but we really start to think, like, does the WWE just think, yeah, they're intimidating black guys? It's like, no. I mean, for the two of them, yeah, but for Xavier Woods, that's a guy who not only can speak, but you made it sound like he should be the one speaking. So the fact that it's so when they said, which, by the way, is very misleading, Michael Cole said, hey, look, they're out here right now with us. I was like, oh, good, Xavier's going to be on the microphone. And then he wasn't.
Yeah, it just kind of irked me a little bit because I didn't know what was going on. And when they came out there, because in the beginning they were watching the TVs, I was like,
yeah,
ooh, we're going to get a little beatdown. You know, we're going to get a beatdown segment. We're going to rush the ring.
We get something.
So when we didn't get anything, I was slightly disappointed because it just felt like Like it was just there. It was like SmackDown to me. It was just there. Like I saw it, and that was cool, but...
Speaking of disappointments, Bo Dallas versus R-Truth.
I guess you want to go first here.
I'm too tired because of the pay situation to be really, really, really angry at this. That's how tired, you know, this whole fight has made me. But I'm still going to fight this. The issue is that you gave Bo Dallas a streak. Not even that R-Truth is the one who destroyed it. Although, fair enough, R-Truth is the one that destroyed it. But the fact that you gave Bo Dallas a streak, he loses the streak. And, he fought R-Truth, he beat him up, so fair enough, you know, but the thing is that that's something that Bo Dallas has done to sadly everyone, regardless of them being a face or a heel, which is kind of sad, but he's done stuff like that, like underhanded techniques to Fandango. So this was our point where we could have seen something from Bo that was a bit like Cesaro cutting loose on Kofi Kingston, where it's just, oh dear God, this man is not who he says he is. You know, he's this motivational guy, but when he doesn't get what he wants, he's here to destroy, right? Like, he's all good. Like, why is R-Truth's leg bent that way? Is this a glitch in WWE 13? I think R-Truth's arm is across the ring, right? But no, he lost via a quick roll-up. He beat him up like he would beat up anyone else, and then it looked like he was just fine with it because it wasn't like he had a streak going or anything. This wasn't his only thing that he had on the WWE roster going for him. and then he left. And I'm sorry, but I'm not a huge fan of that. It really makes me feel as if, again, why do we have NXT? Because you see him on NXT, and he's just, he's a motivational guy, sure, but he's also very, like, he's, you know, he has a lot about him that it's just, I feel that NXT belt would have reacted differently than this main roster belt had he lost that.
So this is why Matt is completely wrong. NXT Bo would have done exactly what you saw tonight and been happy about it. Because NXT Bo was this kind of chicken shit heel that was also mega oblivious. Remember the part of his character is mega oblivious. Because people are chanting, Bo leave at him, as in leave the arena. And he's like, no, you know, Bo's ring. Oh, you know, instead of boring. Or no more Bo. Oh, that's right. They want to know more about their champion. So he's that kind of like psycho oblivious. So to him...
Okay.
In his world, all is right now because he's walking out fine. You know, regardless of him winning or losing the match, he got to beat the shit out of R-Truth after. You know, and these temper tantrum, like anger little moments, that was part of his character in NXT where he would snap, do something ridiculously heelish, like, you know, beat down a guy after a match after a sucker punch. And then he'd just go back to smiling. And he'll next week, he'll come out and he'll apologize about it. And he probably will on Raw. And that's exactly what we got in NXT.
All right. But it seemed very, 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 it seemed like he didn't do any more than he should have done. Because here's the thing, then why give him a streak?
But he didn't care about the streak much himself. He barely mentions it. He mentioned it tonight, and that was the first time he's mentioned it on Raw in a while.
I guess so. I mean,
commentary mentions it.
That's
JBL
true.
Does
I guess...
the whole, Cage Side mentions it. We do the he's 7 and Bo. He's 14 and Bo, that kind of thing.
Right.
Bo
right.
doesn't do that as much because it wasn't a big, like, it was a thing for him, and it was cool for him to say, I'm undefeated because I believe. And then, you know, after that match, he got pissed because he's like, fuck, this guy beat me. So he kicked his ass for a bit because you saw his face snap. You saw him get angry. Because
that
that's
is
what
true.
It's like. He's also not, I know you wanted to see more, but also, like, part
more.
Of it. Is not, like, that's also not in the realm of Bo. Like, he's not going to bring off the table and bash your head through it and be like, ha-ha, worship me. And then be like, hi. Like, it's not in his character, or at least it's not there yet, because he's not, it doesn't fit his body type. And I guess, like, it's not to say he couldn't, but that's not something they did with him in NXT.
Right.
He would win by doing very cheap things. Like, he would win the championship by, like, there was an exposed turnbuckle that he tripped his opponent into and then pinned him off of that. And acted like he won based on the pure pin. So it's if he were to use weapons or things like that or really do damage, it would have to be something accidental. Like R-Truth would have to be running at him in a match and he'd run into the steel post and his arm would be like broken or something and Bo would just be like, oh my God, you know, and act like it was like he tripped him into it or he just low blows him by accident or something. That's up Bo's alley.
I'm a lot less angry than I was before, but I still feel as if this was just kind of a waste in the sense that I will admit I am actually interested now that I think about it because now I think, well, how is Bo going to react in the future? What is Bo going to say? What are they going to have him say? What can he say? Like, yeah, I got beaten, but now I'm going to win this. And like, I want to see where he's going with this.
Yeah, like he has to, next week, he should be, if he's in character in tune with the NXT one, you know, he should come out and just be all like, you know, happy about it. But now they've shown, like, the potential. Like, the seeds have been laid for what he can do. So we'll see what happens, like, when he loses again or something doesn't go his way and he starts going nuts and then tries to pass it off as him being a good guy again.
Actually,
like,
how great would it be if he gets a losing streak now?
Do you remember when earlier, way back in the beginning, when I thought he threw the mic at Titus?
Yes.
Like, and then he was like, oh, silly me, Butterfingers. That's the kind of thing NXT Bo would have done, and that's what I thought he would be doing. I just didn't, you know, so I was ticked that they didn't when you told me, like, oh, no, it looked like Titus knocked the mic out of his hand. So, like, that's something he would do. Like, next week, he beats someone again, and then when they're, like, he's trying to talk to them, he throws the mic at their face, like, straight at it, and he's like, oh, Butterfingers, me, I'm sorry. But he just pounded the crap out of them. Like, that's what he would do, because he's not... He's only destructive when he's really angry like that, and he's still a chicken shit heel.
Right. I'll just say this to you then. Why give him a streak? Like how do you feel about the fact that he had a streak, now it's broken, and the streak involved him, not burying, obviously, but the streak did involve him beating up a lot of jobbers, you know.
What I don't like about the streak is something that you alluded to just now, is the fact that it was really unclear for someone who follows faces and heels to figure out what the hell Bo Dallas was. But because his character is basically a heel posing as a face, I'm willing to give them leeway. This once. Like, if they did something with Adam Rose where he was facing faces and heels, I would be pissed as fuck because he should be only as a – like, if you want a heel turn, that's another story. But he's booked as a face. He should be facing heels. Very simple.
Right.
Bo's weird-ass character, because of the fact that it kind of switches between heel and face in terms of the crowd – like, we know he's a heel, but he likes to pretend he's a face. Like, he thinks he's a face. You know,
but
he was pretty happy with what he did tonight. He victory lapped.
Yes, but I still think that we need to really push to the audience to make them understand, because sadly we're dealing with a broader audience, some smart, some
not so smart. So next week he should be facing a face.
Yes, of course. Yes. Believe me, I'm happy that R-Truth didn't lose, because you didn't see SmackDown. R-Truth lost again to Bray Wyatt. The third time that, because once was around the Royal Rumble time. The second time was actually, I believe, not at the Rumble, but Survivor Series is what I mean. At Survivor Series, right, R-Truth lost to Bray again. So once on Main Event a while ago during Bray's debut, once on, on Survivor Series, and now again. And I'm sure he also lost to him sometime in between jobbing out. So it's really upsetting that he lost to him again on SmackDown. And then I thought he was going to lose to Bo, and that really got me, because I thought, so you make these new nation-type characters, and does that make you think, like, well, we've done enough for our black audience this week. Let's make this guy drop. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
if that
I
was
think,
thing.
I know that it's kind of hard to appreciate it, because I don't exactly either, but his streak was a piece of shit. It wasn't anything real. So
no, of course.
The fact
I
that he got beaten by a jobber, I think, is what makes it more entertaining. But I haven't, like, I'm not into that because I don't exactly agree with that logic.
Right.
But
I think that Brock Lesnar should have came
from?
Out. I think Brock Lesnar should have came out and should have destroyed Bo Dallas. That's all. Brock Lesnar would have destroyed another streak, and Bo Dallas would have gotten up and tried to shake Brock Lesnar's hand, but Brock Lesnar would have, like, shook it really hard. And Bo would have, like, his hand would have just been limp, and he would have been like, oh, you. Oh, Brock.
That guy breaking hands and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I think should have happened. But it's okay, though, because we move forward and we see Lana making fun of George W. Bush. And if Lana makes fun of George W.
That was interesting, because I think what they sat there and thought, Matt, was, you know, we're in Houston, Texas. Not everybody likes Obama. Let's take a low blow with them.
Because that's basically what
happened.
That's something that they shouldn't be doing as Republicans. But, hey, they took the low blow to get the heel heat. They took a shot at W and call in the Zeb.
Who slipped for a second but cut a really emotional promo.
Pretty much. And not really much to say. I mean, the sad thing is there's nothing really new. And I think what upsets me about this most is the fact that they've decided to go along with this. I would have rather have had Rusev fight Sheamus at one of the biggest stages of them all. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest. And either lose to Sheamus or beat Sheamus. But the fact that we're going to probably push this to Night of Champions, which, hey, fair enough, champions, Night of Champions, fair enough. But still, to push this off until then, hell, if they're going to push this off, right, and somehow, even though it doesn't look like this is going to happen, if they somehow make, Miz fight Sheamus, and then Sheamus beats Miz, and mind you, that's tied to unification, and then Rusev is the first guy to go against Sheamus, that is not going to want to make me renew.
I agree.
So it doesn't look like that's where it's going, because we haven't had Miz and Sheamus anywhere near each other tonight, right?
Right,
so from
and
the
also,
looks of it,
because Sheamus wasn't around tonight, was he?
No. So, he wasn't even around to... Yeah,
no Sheamus, no RVD, no Lesnar.
It could be a flu thing.
No,
yeah,
Ambrose?
But still. No, Ambrose. Wait, no Ambrose.
No Ambrose, right?
No, sorry, my SmackDown. I was able to see SmackDown today, So my SmackDown memory.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confused because I'm kind of surprised. Like, no Ambrose.
I'm assuming it's a house show thing. I mean, it's funny. You know who I think would have been great to have, even though they didn't want to give it to him, I'm sure, because they would think it's an accomplishment? Zack Ryder to have beaten Bo's streak. Because when I saw that Bo was fighting R-Truth, I thought, great, so R-Truth is going to lose, and they couldn't use a different kind of jobber. They had to use. But now that they gave him a win, it was like, yeah, we couldn't give that to Ziggler or to Sandow or to, Ryder. Just, nope, they can't get wins.
Nope.
But anyway.
Wait, didn't Ryder just get a Raw win?
Yeah, which
Fandango?
Is funny. Yes, but it was the ones that don't matter.
He win for the 2 years.
Exactly. It's in his contract. Only,
yeah,
it's
he
a new contract.
One win for 2 years or so, and that was it.
Yeah, that would be terrible if that's true. And our sources say that it's true, and our sources are also not accurate. They're not even sources. But anyway.
Our
sources
are our producer.
Yep. Oh, awesome producer. Good guy. Good guy. Sexy guy. So Sandow and Adam Rose did a thing.
I felt bad for Sandow because as much as I know he was being a heel, he had to wrestle in an astronaut costume.
That's why it was such a short match, and then it was upsetting that it was such a short match because Rose and Sandow can work a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, and
it's
funny.
That being said, Sandow can be in the main event
right
now.
We saw Rose on TV.
We saw Rose on TV.
In a match.
I mean, the thing, okay, he's been in matches recently, but I don't think on television, so fair enough. But it's what's upsetting is that it was short, it was a squash thing, and it just, and this is a feud, as we've seen. Why have a feud if it's just a series of squash matches that we have to see at the pay-per-view?
Right.
You know, where it just, the fact they've been giving him decisive wins against Sandow, at the last pay-per-view and then after, I don't understand what's going on. Although I will admit, there were some great lines where, you have Rose saying, you sour, sour, sour little man, little spaceman, right? That was great. And then you have, Sandow. They say no one can hear you scream in space. Let's see if that's true on Earth. Like, what?
No, it was fun. I just was hoping for an actual match. Because,
me too.
I mean, look, I love Sandow and I love Rose, but they're both very talented in ring performers, too. So it's cool to let them wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we had Kane versus Randy Orton. Versus Roman Reigns, rather.
Are we
which
already there,
happen.
By the way? Because it feels like, we talked a lot about certain things tonight, and, we already got the Roman and Kane and the Randy Orton.
We did.
Wow.
We did.
Okay, go.
And,
ahead,
and also, another Cole quote, the fight begins right here in the WWE Universe. Goldust, Stardust, don't look to the sky for stars. Just look at the crowd section at the arena, because apparently that's where the universe is, right there. Maybe Sandow was onto something about talking about
don't
space.
Don't be mean
coming
to Cole. He doesn't know space and things like that.
I'm not going to blame Cole. I'm going to blame the fact that they told him to say that, because it's the fans are the WWE
universe. That's not
universe.
As bad as the Jericho line later on in the night, though.
No, it isn't, but I still
but we'll
want
get to that
up because it's just, how great is that? It's just, it's like the fans. They are the WWE Universe. They are. So if you're fighting in the, in the fan part of the arena, what do you call it? I don't know. You call it WWE Universe. What are you talking?
But yeah, so this segment, dude.
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, I hate that we can't talk.
Matt, we might have lost you. Well, if we did lose you, I'm sorry. I'll keep going for the time being. I agree with you what you're about to say, that I hate that we can't talk about this a little bit more. But, dude, it's just, what a segment. I mean, Randy Orton was just on his game. And, we were talking throughout the segment going on. And you sent me a message that said something along the lines of, it's amazing how they were able to, redo this booking in terms of Randy Orton being a wimpy heel for so long and just turn him into a monster.
I'm not dead.
Thank God.
Oh, yes, but everything you were just saying, I heard the back end, and I agreed with it completely.
Yeah, no, I was referencing where you were saying, it's amazing how they were able to just take away his booking as a wimpy heel. And it really was, because he dominated this segment. And again, he did the thing that I like that Randy Orton does. He does the little things right. Screaming
yes.
at him, you think you can steal
yeah.
from me, kid? This is what happens when you steal from me, Rook. Like, that kind of stuff, and just the dominance, the beatdown.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if it was a botch. I said this. I don't know if this was a botch. But the second
mm-hmm.
RKO and then the table breaking, that whole segment was brutal. And I
oh,
loved
yeah.
it.
And I just, oh, my God, just one, just all, in one segment, Orton undid a full year of, like, this wimpy corner that they had written him into. Just one
Which
segment.
Which is amazing, because he played that wimpy heel great. And
oh, yeah.
then suddenly he just returned to dominance, and it was incredible. Like, I,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't, that was perhaps the highlight of the night for me.
It was. It was a lot better than, you know, if Reigns and Kane actually had a match. Because sadly, you know, I mean, we like
that
Kane.
That would not have been
but
a match anyone wanted to see.
No, no. It's been done before, and it's been done on SmackDown. So take that, you know, think about
that. And
that
beatdown was so bad that how
oh,
could
yeah.
Reigns not want to fight Orton at SummerSlam now? Because
that's
he's
what's perfect
just
about
like,
it.
I want to kill him. And Randy
yeah.
Orton already has the motivation.
Most definitely. And what's funny, I think, is, and if you play the video games, you'll understand this point. And if you don't, just really just think about it in video game logic. When someone does a finisher on a table, it breaks, you know, or off of the table, and you do, like, let's say, the SDU onto someone, right? So you do an RKO, and in the game, you're like, yeah, you broke the guy through the table. The damage is on the guy. You see it in real life, and you really think, wait a minute, Randy Orton also has to land on that table.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just Roman Reigns getting, you know, busted through a table. Randy Orton has to land on it and land
mm-hmm.
right. And that's what's kind of, I say, funny in a way, where it's just like, wait a minute, it's not just all on him. This isn't like an FU or a choke slam. No, Randy putting himself, it was the WrestleMania thing with him and Batista against Daniel Bryan. Randy has also felt that. Randy, you did not think this through.
Yeah, I mean, but on top of that moment, I mean, it was all done very well. It was a real
oh, yeah.
old-school beatdown. And,
yeah.
you know, kudos to them for writing that segment. Because, seriously, that was a segment.
And, hey, if you think that was good, right, think about Fandango versus Diego. I mean, if you sat there and thought, well, who's
I'm
Fandango
so glad
going to
you
wrestle?
Said Diego.
No, I texted you Fernando, but I was like, wait, no, I've been saying it. Because I've been saying Fernando so much because Fernando is the one that's injured. So
correct.
I've been saying it so much that that's the one that's stuck in my head. So who is Fandango going to wrestle is what you probably thought. Because Adam Rose is taken. Well, of course it must be Diego. Why would it not be?
It's funny because this Fandango, like, sympathy streak thing where he's losing to everybody is
yeah.
giving more jobbers airtime than anything else.
It is. And it's also, and of course, the thing is, you mentioned the sympathy thing, because sadly, I mentioned, you know, last week and probably the week before, the problem with this, I think, is that if it goes on for too long, it looks as if they're trying to make Fandango look sympathetic rather than, you know, the women getting back there, you know, getting their come up, you know, Fandango getting his comeuppance, the women getting, you know, revenge on him. Because after
right.
a while, it does, and hopefully I've said this before, because it has to be quick. I blame it on the brand split, you know, the lack thereof. Because there are the brand splits would be happening once a week, and it wouldn't be so stretched out. But the fact that this has the opportunity of happening on Raw, Main Event, and SmackDown, right?
And has
sort of, on the,
happened
and
on
has,
all three shows.
Is a huge issue, because after a while, and yeah, you might say, oh, well, it's only the douchebag men, you know, quote-unquote, or even women who might think, oh, well, you know, oh, I can't believe, you know, this is happening to Fandango, poor guy, right? And you might think, oh, yeah, those are just jerks, right? I would argue that at first, it's the jerks that would say that. Like, you know, like, obviously Fandango deserves something wrong. But after a while, I feel like people just with a heart might be like, this is a lot. Like,
and
you're
guess
literally
what?
Going
it has
plus.
Been a while.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty frequent. And tonight Fandango was just like, why? And he got gored.
It's a blow.
And I was just sitting
you know?
Here like, you know, I kind of feel weird. Like, I kind of, like,
yeah.
I'm not sympathetic for him yet. But
no.
they're pushing those heartstrings for me. Because
they really
in the matches, Fandango's fighting fair. He's not cheating. He seems like, you know, he's learned his lesson. It's just kind of like, I feel for it. I feel for this
yeah.
segment. I feel for this whole thing. I feel for him.
And we shouldn't. That's the problem. Because, and this could have happened. It's just that, you know, and it's bad because, again, when you make people face it. See, that's why I start to argue, you know, I was talking about the Bo thing where it's just, you know, I said, you know, he's done so much to, you know, to faces, I'm sorry, to heels, But it becomes an issue when he starts doing things to faces, and then you look at, you know, a segment like this, and it's just, well, when you have the faces, regardless of who, you know, whatever, doing this, it's like, that's a problem. When you have, you know, AJ, we thought she had a turn, but she didn't, and apparently neither did Paige, and so apparently are both just nice now. So it's just, you have these, you know, you're sitting there, okay, who are you, good or are you bad? And believe me, I would like characters that are multi-layered or whatever, but make a press conference, damn it. Don't sit there and be like, this is for children. Children should be able to follow this. And then it's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So what should we be thinking about Fandango? You know, like, what are we supposed to be thinking here? And then, right, to top this all off, to have a really awkward and confusing cherry on top of this really bad-tasting cake. JBL screams, he's been molested. They molested the bull.
That was really bad.
Now, I admit, I left for a split second, and I came back to hear that line. Could you please explain to me what happened?
Because, basically, they kissed him, and he fainted.
Okay.
And they were like, he's out. And Jimmy was like, he's out. They molested the bull. They molested him. And I was just sitting there like,
JBL needs to be sent to the same sensitivity training camp that King isn't attending. They need to really, because it's like, it's just, it's weird, because there's certain words that you shouldn't say on air, right? And some would argue, bitch, I know that, you know, we know some people that would argue, you know, the word bitch should be said on air. And you also agree, there are certain things that maybe shouldn't be said in certain, you know, in certain situations, right?
Right.
But there are certain words as well, like the N-word. The S word being, you know, not like shit, but of course, yes. But, no, the Hispanic, you know, slur. There are many slurs that shouldn't be said, right? And there are many things that shouldn't be even alluded to, whatever. You know, like, you shouldn't be, like, no one should be, even though this isn't really a slur, no one should be saying, yeah, let's like domestic abuse. Like, that's just, there's certain phrases that should not really be said on WWE television. Molested being one of them. You know? No. Not at all. The only time I should be hearing anything that sounds like molested should be the Spanish word molestar, which means to bother. That is the only horrible joke. That's not a joke. That's actually whenever I know
molestar means that, but I'm laughing because it's like it's
joke.
True and I hate
that's
you.
That's all it's about. The only time I should be hearing that is when I'm turning on, you know, I'm switching over to the SAP Raw.
Yeah.
And then I hear molestar. That's the only time I should be hearing that.
But you wouldn't even be hearing molestar. It'd be kind of weird. JBL, molestar, to bother.
No, that wouldn't make grammatical sense.
That's why I'm laughing, because you have to conjugate the freaking verb.
So that's my knowledge of Spanish. But that's why the
molestar.
Molesto is really bad because that sounds like a bothering superhero. Like, look into the sky. It's molesto.
And for the record, you know, I just want to claim, we're not making fun of molestation. We actually started this because we're actually kind of ticked at the fact that they just
calmly... No, we're making fun of the word bother.
Yeah, it's just... All jokes aside, like, it's actually really irritating that he dropped the whole, like, the bull has been molested on air. I mean, look, I'm not the guy who... I am not someone who's going to sit there and say, like, oh, that... Everyone should be trigger warned and things need to be that way because I'm not perfect on that kind of stuff. I know that there are a lot of things that can trigger a lot of people and I'm very sorry for that.
Yeah.
But I know that it's also very hard to cover all of your ground. That being
said, it's
really not easy to go ahead and say, yeah, JBL really needed to say molest there because that was the only word. Like that, you can't
like,
defend
yeah,
that.
There's a lot of that and the simple fact that, you know, and I'll say this, not really simple fact. I'll just say this, and I know I might sound insensitive in saying this, but if you're going to use that word and use that kind of language and be very, I don't want to say sexual, but I'll use the word sexual, right? Very sexualized, sexually charged. That's what you want to be. First off, you're probably going to try and be what TNA is. That's the first. But the second thing is, regardless of the age that we're in right now, if that's how you're going to market yourselves, then do that. Do it. Market yourselves that way. And then tell people, don't let your kids watch. Don't let them. But to have the word molest in that way, be on the same show that we are going to have John Cena on, which means that, yeah, kids, come on and see John Cena. On the same show that we say molest, we make women look crazy. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
You know? And And Molesta was obviously a slip-up, probably on JBL's behalf. I just hope that he, hopefully like King did, gets a little tiny suspension, a little tiny fine. And I say tiny because it's something. Something makes him go, shit, I got fucking fined. Like, oh, no, I got a strike. Something. Where I would be really upset if they don't really get any, you know, because, listen, you know, King, sadly, King has his tenure, and hopefully if he has one more strike, he at least gets, some, you know, or one more incident, he gets some kind of warning or something, if he hasn't gotten them already. But JBL really doesn't need to be throwing out that word, because that's just a huge word. As you said, you know, it's hard to cover everyone's trigger warning, because, I mean, people are triggered by smells, you know, so it's really hard. It really is, you know. But the fact that that's, like, again, like I said, there's just certain words that it's like, you know, if someone says to you, oh, come on, why can't I say molest on the air when children are watching? That man or woman does not need a job in the WWE. You know, we, that person does not need to be defending that. And that's how we feel on the subject.
Righto.
And, but hey, I mean, you know, Stephanie and Nikki had a little thing going on, you know, which was nice because it kind of stopped these, I hope it stopped these Nikki's turning heel rumors that we've heard. Because I don't know if you know this, there's been some rumors backstage. It's like, oh, God, Nikki's turning heel. But no, like, Nikki, from the looks of it, is, like, kind of, like, not really with Stephanie on this, you know, really kind of like, no, my sister's back here, and hopefully you, you know, you get, yeah.
I was worried that later on, when they were going to do the, I'm going to give Nikki a raise thing, that they were somehow going to twist that into, Brie didn't want her sister to get a raise. Nikki is now a heel. I was really worried that they might do something like
that.
So
maybe
they
wanted to do that just in case.
That early segment, I liked because, yeah, it was nice to see. I mean, to me, it makes, as much as Nikki's been put through some punishment because of Brie, she knows that her sister would never do anything to harm her, and she knows that Stephanie's doing this to her, not Brie.
Exactly.
So
yep.
There was in the booking that made me think that she needs to turn yet. She could.
And hey,
but
guess what? They didn't even say the word bitch once. Golly gee. Also, sadly, we're nearing the end of our show. However, we are not nearing the end of our rants. We'll still be going a bit after the episode ends. We'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys, anyone who's listening live. You want to listen to us in the archives? Well, hopefully, I assume you found our link. You know, it will, in a, I would say, 20 or so minutes, half an hour, that link will actually become the archive link, strangely enough. If you hopefully found us on Facebook, if you didn't find us on Facebook, well, then guess what? We have a Facebook. Ta-da! We should say it right now. Those guys on the radio. Search us up on Facebook, those guys, or, you know, URL is those guys on the radio. We post a lot of different stuff. We'll be talking a bit about Comic-Con this week through our comic book shows, because we do a weekly show called This Week in Comics. Sadly, not with Fish Ram. We also do weekly Dragon Ball Z shows with myself and Tristan Ram, talking about different Dragon Ball Z films. And, yeah, and a bunch
you
of other
Tristan
shows.
Ram.
I did say Tristan Ram, because you have come, because Dragon Ball Z, you fused with Tristan. That's not
good.
Weird at all. Yeah, that was a good save on my end. So anyway, yeah, but again, thank you guys for listening. We're still going to keep on talking, but if we cut out, just know that we love you, and hopefully we cut out on a really awkward sentence.
Right. Also follow us on Twitter at Those Guys Radio. You can send us email for any kind of topic suggestions or advertising opportunities at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. And if you're going to the Ring of Honor baseball show at, you know, MCU Park where the Brooklyn Cyclones normally play, you should contact us. Because we just might be there. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely get on that. The show is on the 15th. And also, there's, the Northeast Wrestling Promotion doing Wrestling on the Stars 3 in Fishkill, New York, which we will also be at on August 2nd. Coming up this Saturday.
We would love to meet you.
That's a really weird sentence, but you know what? I agree. Yeah, contact us. We would love to. You know, we're those guys.
I know it's
not
funny, but it's like, dude, it's like dudes and dudettes. Let's hang out at a nice wrestling event.
Let's meet the fan.
Get a beer.
Yeah.
Watch wrestling. Enjoy. You know, if it's August 2nd, the Monster BC.
Oh yeah, or Evan
Bourne. That's Brodus Clay, by the way. And
yeah,
Honor, just enjoy everything because it's Ring of Honor, and maybe there'll be audience participation, and Matt and I can cut promos.
Oh, yeah, that'll most definitely be what'll happen. And, of course, in Fishkill is also going to be the Young Bucks versus the Hardys. And I swear to God, not kidding, I swear to everything, I swear to whatever you believe in, I swear, we're going to have Kevin Steen versus Jerry the King Lawler in a pile driver versus pile driver match. I'm not kidding. I wish I was. That's happening.
Ambulances will be at the ready.
Yeah, pretty much. And Bret Hart's going to be there. So,
ambulances will be at the ready.
Yes, right, pretty much. It's actually the Wambulance. No, I'm kidding. Bret deserves everything to be said. No, but seriously. But seriously, again, thank you guys for listening, and definitely look at us in the archives because you'll be talking about some more stuff because, hey, the show is not over yet. But sadly, our episode is quite over.
And look up the Wambulance.
Yes, look up the Wambulance. I'm sorry. I love Bret, all right? But we're going into our archive mode soon. I don't know how soon, but soon.
It should be about now.
Yeah. And here we are. You're in the After Hours segment. Things are going to get really, really, really interesting. Nah, not really. But anyway, so Goldust and Stardust.
One of these days we need to test how many people listen to the archives, by the way. Because I wanted, like, just make some kind of satanic joke here. And then somebody's like, hey, they made a satanic joke in the archives. Hey, one person listened to us in the archives. So
I would like that. Basically, so we need to basically get, like, a ritual thing going for the archives. Only in the – so once the archives hit, you just hear – like, just like, oh,
Yanni Squatsy.
Yeah, right? Just, oh, yeah, Zack Ryder, win, oh, yeah. Just basically just try to give the guy all the help we can give him, you know? Anyway, so Goldust and Stardust had a thing. How did you feel about that thing?
Every week I like the segment, and every week I want them on TV. And it really, really, really irks me that, you know, they're not on TV yet, and I don't know what this cosmic key is. But
oh, you mean
so
wrestling? Because they're on TV, but you mean you want them wrestling?
Yeah, I want them in an in-ring match because
right on TV. Yeah,
they're good
at
that part.
You know what I think they need to do? I think that they need to have these two fight someone, right? But what I mean that, or fight two people. What I mean that is, I don't mean like Ryback and Curtis Axel, right? I mean like Ryback Citron. Basically taking two people, not even Red Axel, just taking two people, even if they're NXT people, repackaging them and making them Goldust and Stardust sworn space enemies. Basically trying to say, because listen, all right, I'm a big fan of cartoons. I'm a big fan of Tokusatsu being, since we're in the archives, I can say anything I want to. Tokusatsu being the Japanese word for special effects. A lot of things count as Tokusatsu. So if you're thinking about American stuff, you'd think of things like, you know, like even the show Supernatural or like Star Wars. But usually Americans use the word Tokusatsu like we use the word anime. So we only focus on the Japanese stuff. And the Japanese stuff are like Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, Ultraman, Godzilla, you know, things that you think of that are really more sci-fi or superhero. Super Sentai, by the way, becoming Power Rangers, and Kamen Rider becoming Masked Rider, and Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, right? So that's the thing. I'm a big fan of that. So to have Goldust and Stardust be like, we're searching for the cosmic key, and then to have two people in costumes going, we have the cosmic key, would be the best thing that WWE can do right now if they really want their, you know, kids to be involved and to, like, really, you know, get hyped, and then also kind of get the nerd in us really hyped. How great would that be if, like, even if it was just Ryback and Curtis Axel, just in face paint, like, with, like, you know, with kind of, like, Power Rangers-esque kind of costume or add-ons to their, you know, to what they're wearing. And it's like, we are Ryback Citron, we have the cosmic key. And just act like nothing changed. Just, yeah, this has always been a thing. Whatever. I'm sorry, I'll be very entertained.
No, I mean, it's just, Stardust and Goldust are great. And I laughed out loud, by the way, when he blew the stars in Goldust's face.
Yes.
And he started choking. He's just, and they'll belong to Goldust. And Goldust, stop. I was laughing so hard because they've become really good in terms of the chemistry that they already had. But just, you know, it's so obvious now. And Cody has really dedicated himself to doing this role. So they're good at what they do, and I want them to be in the ring soon. And I guess what they'll probably do is hold it till the pay-per-view or something. But I feel like, do you understand what I'm saying? It needs to be more. Like, you know, they need to be in the ring at some point because these little segments are fun and great, but this is wrestling. which means they
that's
have to
That's why I said, yeah, that's why I said I want them to find someone for them. Because I will admit, yeah, it's nice to have, like, I got to see them at Madison Square Garden where it was, you know, Goldust and Stardust versus the Usos versus Reb Axel, which is a great thing, right? It was all in one match. It was amazing. But I still want someone to kind of be on their level. You see, that's the thing that I would argue that wasn't wrong with WCW, where people were like, oh, God, like, there are these freaking, you know, evil, like, super evil, like, I can't even think of the name, sadly, but, like, you know, House of Doom, like, crazy kind of gimmicks where it was like, it looked like they were a group of superheroes and a group of supervillains, and it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, no, that's actually really cool.
Right.
I'm a fan of that, you know? Mostly as kind of like, a, you know, entertainment, complete entertainment, nothing serious, obviously. But, you know how it is for me? It's the way Jim Cornette, I don't know if you've heard of, have you heard of how Jim Cornette described the Boogeyman?
No, but
like the actual,
go ahead and...
Okay. Okay, so when there was OVW, right, Jim Cornette actually had to make this guy work. He was debuted when Jim Cornette was running OVW, right? So he was basically trying to do it where he was like, you know, he was basically saying things like, you know, because there was an interview about it, and he was like, I wasn't sitting here, you know, trying to say that, you know, oh, yeah, this is the Boogeyman. Like, no, no, I can't do that shit, you know. I was trying to tell people, motherfucker, he thinks he is the Boogeyman. Like, that's the scariest thing about it, where it's like, no, 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 he isn't the Boogeyman. He thinks he is that. He's actually the freaking Boogeyman, right? So that's
like, okay.
Yeah, so that's how it should be with, like, you know, if they want to continue this and really, like I said, add more people to it, where it's like, oh, God, Goldust and Stardust are versing the Super Booper Tour, like something weird like that, where it's like, oh, just like, you know, like the kids might be like, oh, yeah, you know, they're like, you know, in space. But then the adults were like, oh, yeah, you know, like they're in space doesn't, you know, they're not, they don't travel in space. It's like, no, you idiot. They think they do.
Right.
That's the most, and it's like, oh. Like, oh, like, oh, shit. That's how it should kind of be, where it's like, if you really want to introduce people and kind of have, because even though crazy shouldn't really be, it's actually a bit upsetting in a way where crazy is kind of being mocked in the WWE still to this day, but it's the kind of crazy that's really hard to actually see, you know, where it's like, it's not as if they're actually talking about people's depression or people, you know, who are actually, like, they focus on people like the Usos, who are Uso crazy, if that really means anything. And they talk about, you know, and they kind of push this, like, Alicia Fox thing, which seems more of like a celebrity crazy. Or they push, you know, Ambrose, who just has that lunatic fringe. And now they have Cody, who's just doing whatever the hell Goldust is doing. So, yeah, they just introduce two people who are like, you know, we have the costume key. You will fight us for it. And if they actually act as if the Cosmic Key, if Goldust and Stardust win the Cosmic Key and they walk around holding a giant golden key as if it's the tag team championships, would you not be entertained?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So let's move on to a subpar Divas match. So that was a subpar Divas match.
Yeah.
I was happy, though, that here's the thing. The fact that it was actually a Divas match, though, did make me excited because we actually have, regardless of how we think it's being happening, which there haven't been, I will admit, not all of the segments with the women tonight were great, but I will admit it is a step in the right direction that they are happening. I'll still stick to that a bit. You know, the fact that they're happening, the fact that they didn't go, oh, yeah, so Paige and AJ happened, and that's the biggest thing that we have right now. So no Divas match tonight, especially with, you know, Stephanie and Nikki and Brie, no Divas match. So the fact that they tried was nice. You know, the problem is that other than Natalia, it's these three women can't hold the match. They can't, they can't really, you know, keep the match going. They need other people in it. Like, you have Naomi. I'm sorry, you have Natalie, Natalia, right? You could have her and then AJ and then Paige and then Emma. That was actually a really good, you know, team up going there. Right? That can work. But it's really hard when Naomi isn't bad, but she can't really carry a match. Cameron, who's, again, needs someone to help carry her. And then Alicia Fox, who is in that Naomi situation. So it's really hard to have a good match, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there was no chemistry. It looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that was just a low-quality bout.
Yeah, if they were two separate matches, I think it wouldn't have been such an issue. But I think it's because it was a tag match that I think it became a kind of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Alicia Fox also, as much as I like her, it looked like she botched her scissors kick, and the camera angle tried to save it, but it looked like she botched her scissors kick. And
yeah, it's been a while since we've said that a camera angle saved something. So that means
something. Yeah, but I think you saw that too, right? I'm not just doing...
Sadly, I can't remember, but I believe you 100% because it happens. It does. You know, sadly, yeah, it does. But at least some story stuff happened because Naomi beating Cameron could make, you know, another match happen. And because of that, you could have Naomi get the win on Cameron at SummerSlam, which, hey, you know what? We need more than one women, you know, women's match at SummerSlam. If there's only one women's match, even if it's for the Divas title, that would be very upsetting, wouldn't it? Just, oh, yeah, the women only deserve this one match. That will only be long anyway. So, yeah, so we definitely, so hopefully this, I mean, it's stupid that Cameron won the first time anyway, and hopefully Naomi beating her now does, because sadly for the Divas division, they would argue that, well, see, Naomi got the win. But it was on a, in a tag team match on, she got the win, we're good, let's go home. So, I mean,
let's go home.
You know, yeah, there's Jericho versus Rollins. We're done. Go home.
The Jericho Rollins thing, I guess, was the ending was predictable.
Before we actually bring up Jericho Rollins, do you think the Divas match went over? I think it went over because they started Jericho's entrance way too quick.
But see, what I thought it they did, but then they cut to ad right after.
Fair enough.
Do you get what I mean?
I
agreed with you until they cut to ad, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
But wait, so you're telling me that, okay, but what if they had Jericho lined up that he had to come out? Like, what if the Divas took a little less time, they could have put the ad right there? Not so much time that an ad could have been placed, but, like, what if they had everything set up and they're like, crap, Jericho, run? No?
It did happen a lot. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. It did, like, his entrance was, like, literally right there, and I was like, Chris, don't they usually give him, like, 20 seconds to get out of the ring?
Yeah.
It was a little bit like, whoa.
Yeah. So they may have planned the ad there, but they had to work everything around it, where it was just, okay, we were supposed to have more time. Like, if the Divas didn't go over, someone did that night. Someone that night went over somewhere. Where it was like, crap, we can't, crap. But anyway, speaking of the, we spoke before of this really funny Michael Cole line, and let's bring it up, shall we? Michael Cole says, about Jericho, this has not been a good week for Jericho. It all started last week.
That may have been the line of the night. This has not been a good week. In fact, it all started last week. Well, if it hasn't been a good week, it just may have started earlier in the week, Michael.
Yeah.
Man, Monday has been a terrible day for Chris. It all started at 12 o'clock a.m. Monday.
Yeah.
It was so bad that it was funny.
It was. But I mean, hey, you know, the match was good itself, so at least the match was good. Was it just me or when Rollins was raking Jericho's face? Like, I thought they kissed, and I thought that that was a big gift for the internet. Was it just me?
Well, I'm now going to have to review that, actually, before people start bringing that up to me. I hope you haven't started something. I have to go look at that now.
Great, that's great. If anyone's listening, please post that GIF to our Facebook page. Please post that GIF to our Facebook
page. No!
But,
don't
by
make
the way,
that
I have a...
GIF. That GIF shouldn't be a thing.
But you know what should be a thing? You and I, right, going together to our local local Best Buy or Blockbuster, and we can go buy the Money in the Bank 2014 DVD, which is actually out tomorrow, which in turn is today. We do. Now, first off, I think it deserves a Blu-ray. Wow, that silence was long. I'll say this much. They have HD cameras now. Why not in Blu-ray? But here's what really matters. All jokes aside, actually, that was partially serious, but now let me really be really serious completely. We have a network. I mean, I do want to see their DVD sales, but we have a network. Or at the very
That's
least,
what I'm sitting there thinking. Like, when you told me this via text message, I was just sitting there like, what?
Yeah, you weren't noticing it, but they had the actual ad right on the bottom when Jericho and Rollins were wrestling. And the ad just popped out at me, and I thought, are we serial?
Apparently we are.
Again, maybe I want to see their DVD sales. Maybe our fact checker Maddie next week will be able to one up us with a lot, you know, information of, because sadly we still are in an age of old.
They're making
people
more off DVDs than they are off of the network.
Hey, that's the thing. We're still in an age. We think that we're far off, you know, from the age of VHS tapes, and you know, but still we're still in an age, right, where we could have young nephews or basically just young kids, right, who could also be related to us, and they have, you know, these aunts, which, hey, could be our own mothers and fathers, our aunts or uncles, our own mothers and fathers, who end up going, the kid likes wrestling. We'll buy them the only DVD we can find, or we'll buy them three wrestling DVDs, and we'll call it a day. And it's like, wait a minute, if you buy them three DVDs at $20 a pop, with tax, mind you, probably $70, could you just buy them the network subscription? If I buy them three DVDs, they will like what they get. And then the kids are so confused because they got, like, NWA, the fall and rise of ECW, of WCW, and they got greatest ECW matches. And the kid is just so confused.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the hell is going on?
I assume that's what's going on, because I'm pretty damn sure that no one is actively, like us, no one like us, is actively going to buy the Money in the Bank 2014 DVD tomorrow. In turn, people who aren't like us, right, let's say kids, are like, I want to get that. And then their father or mother, or grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, says, you know, whoever their legal guardian is, says, sure, I'll get it for you. And then when they say, but I want them, you know, and the kid says, oh, I want the network. And they go, no, that's too much money. Don't even check the price. Just, no, that's too much money. Oh, $10 a month? No, that's too much. Commitment? Oh, no, we can't do that. But they'll get them one, you know, pay-per-view DVD per month. And even though it's 20, possibly, it's probably 20, instead of 60, that's still $20 a month. That's more than
I'm
one
really
network.
Thinking about this now.
Yeah, that's why when people try and blame the you know, the people who aren't buying, right? You know, and people say, hey, which was me at one point. I was like, let's not really blame them. And you even said, let's not blame them. And I don't want to blame anyone. But I have to say that if you have good internet and you don't have the network, then and you have some money to spare, with, you know, with the money that people blow on everything, just $10 a month, it's probably because they don't know what they're doing in terms of, like, let's say it's like, you know, a kid. That's why I've been saying for a while, they think that kids are their future and that they're their bread and butter. And that's only the case in things like merchandise, where parents go, I don't have to work with this, it's just a shirt, right? And they'll throw money at it. But when it comes to the actual network, they need to think about people like us.
We're really mean to parents.
Huh?
We're really mean to parents. Like, I think we just assume that all parents are idiots when we do our podcast, which is
all
really
parents,
funny.
Not all parents. That's the thing. Obviously not. But I say it because, you know, I mean, I looked at a lot of the kids that went, and honestly, if I had to judge a book by their cover, sadly, I don't think a lot of the kids had the network with their parents. I got to be honest. They didn't look like they did. They look like, I mean, hell, the fact that, you know, they look like they came to this show because it was rather cheap compared to many of the other shows, and that's what, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everyone in that arena owned the network. Maybe those were the only people that owned the network in that arena. But I'm fairly certain that, you know, there were a lot of people in there who didn't have the network, who just came to see John Cena live, and that was that. And when they get to see John Cena on TV, that's all they care about. They don't care about the network, even though the kid might be like, but Mom, Dad, the network is like that. And then they say, no, we'll get you a wrestling toy. And the kid goes, okay. And,
we'll get
you
John Cena live.
Exactly. You know, and they're like, okay, that's all I need. It's like, guys, you know, like, that's the thing. I feel this, yeah, he pushes the merchandise needle completely, but he is not the one that's selling the network.
Right.
And that's an issue. Because they need to sell the network people like, and again, I'm not saying that we need something crazy. Like, I don't want it to be like, you're selling the network to 20-year-old males. We need tits and ass. No, we need the exact opposite, actually.
Right.
You know, we need them to be covered up completely, and we want wrestling, strangely enough. For some, I think. For some in the back, anyway, of WWE. We want wrestling. And yeah, but hey, the Wyatts came out, as if that's a good segue. The Wyatts came out. And that's what we expected. But it's okay. Because
Jericho aerial code broke Rollins.
Yes. And it was a very good match. And had that been the main event, I think that would have been an issue. But thankfully it wasn't. Thankfully, we had, you know, I mean, the end of it being that, you know, if the Wyatt coming out, if that was the main event, that would have been an issue. But no, it wasn't the main event. We had Stephanie and Britt be the main event, which was obvious to many, I guess. That wasn't really so super duper obvious to me. But what I liked is that, and I say obvious for two reasons. First off, they were like, oh, yeah, well, that's what it was leading to tonight. And two, because Stephanie McMahon is a McMahon. But it's like people have to understand that she's still a woman. That means something. To have her be the one to close out the night really means something to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and I was surprised a little bit that they were going to do this because, you know, they teased it earlier in the night, and I've been so used to them doing something like that earlier in the night that I was like, oh, wow, they're doing this segment at the end, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And to be fair, because it's involving Stephanie McMahon, a principal WWE owner, according to, like, her you know, moniker for the company, on screen, be put in KFAB jail last week. It is something important. You know,
yeah.
Jail kind of transcends wrestling for a bit, and she talked like that, where she was like, my children, everyone's judging me, all this stuff, and that was good. That was all very good. And, you know, then we got to Brie, who, you know, I made fun of her earlier, but, like, her delivery still bothers me. But she got what she wanted. We got our Brie versus Stephanie at SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
And it was still a little bit, I guess, tasteless in, like, how casually they threw the word bitch around.
Here's the thing. Well, here's how I agree and disagree. When Brie threw it again, right,
I think
with
you might use it with, like, when Stephanie used it, you liked it. When Brie used it, you didn't.
Actually, it's a mix. It's mixed, actually, completely.
Go for
when
it.
Stephanie, when Brie said it, I didn't like it, obviously. I agreed with you completely. It's lazy, and she doesn't need to use it more than once, right?
Right.
Though I did like that it was uncensored, because, again, I like the idea of them feeling as if they don't know when it's coming.
Well, John
so
used it earlier in the night, so.
Yeah, they don't know when it's coming, but if they're going to show John say it again, or anyone say it again, it's going to be censored. You know, I like
most
that
most likely.
Aspect. Yeah.
Okay,
so
you like that.
I didn't like when Brie did it. Remember, I didn't like when Brie did it. When Stephanie said it the first time, I was in love, because I was like, I wrote, see, Stephanie used bitch effectively.
How did
and
she use
Stephanie
it the first
said
time?
It.
Can you remind me?
She said angrily, "I'm gonna make you my bitch," which
means
the first
that
it's something that yes, it's something that anyone could say, right? It doesn't reference just, "Oh, you are a bitch." I'm gonna make you my bitch, because the thing is, everyone says that, and they don't mean like a female thing. They just mean like, I feel as if when they use it, they mean like the subservient female dog, but not subservient female, right? And it kind of gives me this connotation of, like, I'm going to make you my bitch. Like, it had a power to it that I like that she's bringing this power. But then she said, right before it went off air, she says, you're my bitch. And I was like, no. She had the perfect track record. Honestly, the fact that she is Vince McMahon's daughter is the perfect example of this. Because this is the McMahon way, where the McMahons, they have something. They have something golden. It's like a gold, like, basically, the golden goose, right, lays a golden egg, and it sits there, and then they poke the goose and go, give me another. And then the goose is like, and then the goose flies away, taking the egg with it, and now the McMahons have nothing. They had something so good right there, and then again, in McMahon fashion, it had to be used again, so soon, and then just, it meant nothing.
It strikes me as lazy, because they're like, you know what? We're going to book this back and forth because they keep calling each other bitches. That's what'll get the woman mad. And it's annoying because, like, especially from Brie's perspective, she for a while had so much else to say and still does. And as her character, you know, she can say so much more about, like, she didn't even mention the fact that the Authority tortured her husband. You know?
Not today. I believe she did last week.
Right, but I almost,
still.
Like, it's weird, because there's a line for me with that, because it's like, wow, I want to be able to separate her from her husband, so I think that's cool.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it could serve you to mention the fact that you watched your husband get tortured for, like, a year.
Here's
you know, this isn't like
okay.
a year in extension.
I'm okay with this, because, okay, here's the thing. Her husband isn't around anymore. In a sense, in this case,
fair.
But she's also being put into situation, sadly, in a way, because of her husband.
Fair.
So, like, okay, so it can be mentioned. Where it's a bit different, where even though I wanted Nikki to kind of be referenced because of, like, Nikki's getting tortured, you know, her John Cena, her boyfriend, is right there. So at least have something. But, hey, you don't want to get them involved with each other because storylines, all right, fair enough. You know, you look at AJ, we talked about AJ before. She isn't there because of Punk. You know, she's here because she's good. Heck, she might. Heck, the fact that she's still there, even though Punk did what he did to the company, is actually very nerve-wracking. Wondering when is it going to, you know, when is it going to tear? Like, when is there going to be, you know, AJ getting stripped of the title and then being stripped live on Raw? Literally stripped. When is that going to happen, and when are we going to be fearful of it? Because, you know, again, screw this company. When vendettas come up, right? So, but anyway, so my point is this. My point is that, you know, AJ doesn't need CM Punk or her chance. You know, Nikki, in the middle, but literally in the middle. Brie? Yeah. Like, it doesn't need it, but yeah, if they come up, she's the one bringing it up. Yeah, I mean, why are they torched? Like, you know, she's literally there because of her husband. So there's no reason why she can't, you know, they can't have, she can't bring it up a lot. Better than her bringing up the word bitch over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how I feel. Where Brie, she can be the one. Like, if there's, like, again, if there's a scale, Brie is the one that can. Nikki's in the middle. AJ never. Literally never.
Which sucks, huh?
I mean, not really. I mean, again, if they want to, like, do little cool, kind of cute things here and there where, like, oh, God, you know, it looks like they're both at their limit, AJ versus whoever, in a hard-fought match. They're at the edge. You know, what can they do next? Oh, my God, GTS, go to sleep, what? You know, something crazy like that where she pulled it out of her ass and it's like, what? We have a mark-out moment? Cool. But not, you know, but not, we should say CM Punk when she comes out because she married him. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. But anyway, so we're nearing the end of our show. Before we go, anything you want to say?
Complete disclosure, I tried to upload Koyani Squatsy to Blog Talk to play us out, but it wouldn't work.
It's okay. I would like to say that before we go, I'm actually very excited that Raw ended on a This Is Awesome chant when it came to women. How great is that?
Let's keep it going. I mean, it's just,
it's
a welcome change from just earlier in the night. So let's not, you know, let's not forget how angry you and I especially were like an hour and a half ago.
Right. Let's not. So it's a great change. That's the thing where I feel as if, we've talked about this before and we have to go, but still, I feel as if polar opposites are booking WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's literally a constant struggle, where it's just like, you know, it's like, all right, we need to make women look really good. And then someone says, how about just good? You know, as if it's just, how about we give someone the Divas title? And it's like, but can she be naked while doing it? Like, there's pauses because no one can see me at home. My pauses are me looking, just confused. Those are my pauses, like, are you serious? Like, because that's the thing. That's how I feel, where it's just like, you know, it's like, it's give or take. One or the other. It can't just be a good thing, right? So anyway, but again, you know, thank you guys for listening to those guys. Would you like to play us out with anything else, Dish, or do you have nothing?
I got nothing working on my phone, this angry son of a evil, like, thing, Blog Talk Radio.
It's okay. I will play arguably the best female wrestler that I can. Her music. Before I do, again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. Really happy that you guys, you know, went into the archives to listen to us. And if you didn't, then how are you hearing me right now? That's really weird. I don't know how that would happen. And yeah, get a friend to listen in. I mentioned this before, if you got into our Facebook and you know all about us and stuff, share it with a friend because sharing is caring. So totally tell a friend that we exist.
Yeah, no, I'll justify it. It's just, word of mouth is what helps people like us, you know, not die.
we don't
get paid to this podcast.
Quite literally, mind you. I'm the doctor. If you actually don't say my name enough, then I will die. I'll cease to exist.
That was interesting.
It is. But thank you guys for listening. And here is what I would argue the best female worker ever in the history of the WWE. And hopefully you can sense sarcasm. Oh, yeah.
She's got me dreaming of it.